Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast week of August 26, 2013. I'm your host, Zach. Joining us tonight, we have Chris.
Hello.
And Joe.
It's about to go down.
It certainly is, because I think we should get right into the show because there's so much stuff going on.
Jam-packed.
Yeah. And first and foremost, right into news, because news came out last week that basically blew up the internet.
Yes. There will be a Power Rangers panel at Comic-Con.
Exactly, yes.
And
Bulk and
Skull. Oh, wait, something else happened.
Oh. R.L. Stein's gonna be at Comic-Con, guys.
Goosebumps.
No, that's all awesome. But the real news that came out last week was that we finally know, because I don't think anyone was really expecting it to come out this early, but our new Batman for Man of Steel 2, aka Batman vs. Superman, is Ben Affleck.
Shocker.
And the internet imploded.
Yes, it did. I kind of feel like we saw a cross-section of humanity at its worst.
Yeah.
When that news came out. Because it was just obscenities and
slurs
people, and hate speech.
Just people who were unthawed after who were thawed in 2003 or something.
Yeah, man. It was really kind of bizarre. I didn't know people hated Ben Affleck so much. I don't understand it.
Yes, Gigli was a bad movie. Why is everyone so fucking obsessed with it?
But I guess nobody saw Hollywoodland or Argo.
The Town. Yeah.
I don't know. Or just the way he carries himself in the last 5 years, you know?
Yeah.
It's just so much different.
People were obsessed with that 2 years or 2 or maybe 3 year span where he's it was Bennifer and Gigli and Pearl Harbor and all this. Yes, he made some awful movies, but he is completely, he's done a complete 180 since then, pretty much.
Yes, that's absolutely true, but even more so than that is that people tend to look at those movies I don't know how I'm going to get my way out of this one, but I'm about to defend Pearl Harbor. At the end of the day, I don't feel like that was Ben Affleck's fault.
No, it's just Michael Bay's insanity.
Right. It was just Michael Bay's directorial hubris.
Yes, exactly.
You know? And his
whoever wrote the script for that movie.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't good, and Ben Affleck wasn't great in it, in my opinion.
No, it wasn't supersede himself on the movie or something.
Right, but the thing is, it wasn't oh, fucking Affleck, ruined what would have been an otherwise brilliant movie. That's just not the case. So to pin that on Ben Affleck, if you didn't like his performance in the movie, that's cool, but articulate why you didn't like the performance.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck.
Everyone was awful in that movie.
Yeah, and, moving on to something that's a little more in our wheelhouse, I'm not gonna touch Gigli with a 30-foot pole, but whatever. Everybody's got a few questionable movies under their belt.
When I saw all Twitter exploding with oh man, Gigli was the, it was that Family Guy joke that Stewie does where it's the one where it's Olivia and they're at the gifted kids school and it's she does the Weakest Link joke and he's that's so fresh. That's so fresh. Yeah. Do you want to drop any Titanic jokes while we're getting
the peak of their popularity?
Yeah.
No, and that's absolutely true. I mean, I've seen worse movies than Geely. Okay? There are not many movies that are worse, and I also watch some terrible movies. I seek out a lot of terrible movies, man. But, like, I just feel like at the end of the day, like, if that's the worst movie you've ever seen, you don't watch a lot of movies.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like, you really don't, yeah. Man. You should check out, like, Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance sometime, you know? And, like, fucking really...
Or, like...
You know, we watch our commentary for Vampire's Kiss.
Oh, my God,
you know?
Yes.
Then you'll know what fucking suffering is, okay?
You haven't seen The Face of True Horror.
Exactly. But, you know, moving on to Daredevil, again, another instance of the movie wasn't great, but if you watch the director's cut, it's a better movie, in my opinion, and a lot of people share that opinion with me. But again, it wasn't Ben Affleck who ruined it, because you know what? I actually liked his performance as Daredevil. Was it perfect? I don't think so. But you know what? To me, I still haven't seen a perfect Batman. Christian Bale wasn't the perfect Batman, in my opinion. He was very good. But to me, as a fan, it wasn't perfect for me. I think the person who's come closest to it is Michael Keaton, in my opinion. And even that wasn't perfect for me.
And who also, whatever the equivalent of the internet was in, like, 1989 or whatever, was, like, I guess, I don't know, like, people at, like, comic book stores, like, I guess, or something, would be like...
Right.
Fucking Mr. Mom's gonna be Batman? What the hell?
Mr. Mom's gonna be Batman, but you know what the thing is about that, too? The thing about that is that they had a better, in my opinion at least, they had a better reason to be up in arms. And let me tell you why. You have Tim Burton directing the movie. What action movies had Tim Burton done up until that point? Exactly. I think what he made right before that was Beetlejuice, right? So it's kind of like, okay, you have this director who is doing unquestionably his biggest movie to date at the time. And it's also the first time that he's doing an action movie or any sort of movie where something like explodes or there's a gun involved. And it's also with one of the most beloved, like, iconic comic book heroes in modern history. So you've got that going on, plus you've got this comedic actor who, Michael Keaton is a great actor, but he was mainly a comedic actor at the time. So I feel like people had a better reason back then to be sort of like, what the fuck? Like, seriously? Are they doing a movie based on the 60s TV show? Like, yeah. What's their angle? What are they going for? But now, like, we know that Zack Snyder can do action movies. Like, Jesus Christ, if you doubt him, like, watch Man of Steel. Even if you don't love it, like, you can't tell me that he doesn't know how to make a superhero movie. You know, for everything that was wrong with Watchmen, like, it was still a faithful adaptation.
Mm-hmm. 300.
Whether it was good or not is up to you. Oh, 300, of course. I mean, even Sucker Punch, like, it's a terrible movie, but yeah. It's got some pretty cool action stuff going on, you know? So I think that, in a way, it's almost like we're safer with this. Like, there's less of a reason to be outraged, because you have someone who's been there before, and he's returning, because remember, at the end of the day, this is a Superman sequel, not a Batman movie. It's a Superman sequel that has Batman in it, and it's the same director returning, and oh yeah, Ben Affleck isn't a stranger to playing, like, dark roles. Yes, he played Daredevil. That was a long time ago, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at his character in The Town. Look at how he played George Reeves in Hollywoodland. Look at fucking even Argo, too, just to, you know, see his acting chops. But I would argue that looking at Hollywoodland and looking at The Town, like, you want to talk about conflicted characters with, like, complex sort of dualities and, like, a dark side and this quiet sort of, like, you know, torment about them. Like, come on. He can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he can do it, and, you know, I wrote a little piece for the website saying that, you know, I believe in Ben Affleck as Batman, and it's because I do. You know, I didn't know how I felt at first when this news came out. I was kind of like, it seemed like it was a troll, you know, like it seemed like it was the sort of thing where someone was just throwing out a name to kind of be shocking or whatever.
Yeah.
But the more I thought about it, the more it made sense. Because this sets them up perfectly for a Justice League movie. Because now he signed on to play Batman for more than one movie. I don't know if you guys read that or not.
Yeah.
But he's definitely signed on to a multi-picture deal. And if this goes really well for him, then it definitely puts Warner Brothers into a better position to get him to direct a Justice League movie like they already approached him to do. And that's another thing about Ben Affleck, by the way. He turned down the chance to direct a fucking Justice League movie because he thought someone else could do it better. Not because they wouldn't pay him enough, but because he said that his thing was story and not special effects. He said, I'm sure that there are guys in front of me online, who, like in the line to direct this, who can make a better special effects-driven blockbuster. First of all, that's someone who gets it, and that's someone who's humble. And I think that those are two, like, super critical characteristics to whoever's going to play Batman next. Because you have to get it, but you also have to be humble enough to, you know, sort of understand why people love the character and have something to say about the character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't, he can't just go and be Christian Bale again, because then people will be even more furious.
Yeah.
You know, like, he has to figure out how to make it his own and all that stuff, and I don't know. I think, just feel like people should reserve judgment until they see, like,
let's see him in, like, a costume or something.
You know, even if it's just him, like, in a suit or a tux or something, like, as Bruce Wayne or, like, some sort of, like, bullshit, like, teaser thing. You know what I mean? Like, something like that.
Yeah.
At least it'll be recent, and at least it'll be like, oh, look, he's supposed to be Bruce Wayne, so this is what he's going to look like. Like, people are just taking pictures of, like, him on the red carpet, and they're like, that's not Bruce Wayne. I'm like, I know it's not. Because it's Ben Affleck being Ben Affleck.
Yeah. Although, I'm kind of sold already. There's been a ton of, like, fan trailers going around, but I put one on our Tumblr, which is, like, incredible, because they had, like, I also had Bryan Cranston as Lex Luthor in it.
That was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
That was such a good trip. Whoever made that, like, I owe you a cookie, because that was some fine fucking video cobbling you did. And if we get something half as exciting for, like, a teaser or a first trailer, like, that'll be really special. And it also completely sold me on Bryan Cranston as Lex Luthor. Not that I ever had any, like, reservations about it from the beginning, but just, like, really seeing it sort of, like, come together like that. That's
like perfect,
something I
like
want.
Like, perfect use of, like, his Total Recall speech, which is, like,
incredible.
Yeah. Like, that's, like, exactly what everyone thinks is going to happen. Like, Lex Luthor's going to come in and be like, oh, fucking Superman, wrecking Metropolis. Like, I'm going to come in and make sure everyone's safe.
I kind of feel like that's how it has to be.
Yeah.
And this person, this mystery person, who, if for some reason you're listening to this, hit us up, because we'd love to fucking talk to you, man. But, like, just the whole angle they took of, like, the merger between LexCorp and Wayne Enterprises.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, that, if that doesn't happen, I'll be shocked. And then have it be, like, you know, Bruce is just playing that card to try to get close to LexCorp and, like, audit them or whatever so that he could bring them down. Like, And another important thing about this announcement that we're kind of, that I feel like everyone seems to be overlooking, is the fact that, was it Jeff Robinov who made the announcement? I forget the exec who made it, but they gave some detail about Batman. They didn't just come out and say, in like a one-sentence thing, Ben Affleck is Batman. Like, they said that he's going to be an older, sort of, like, grizzled veteran Batman,
mm-hmm.
who, he's not new to this, and you know, to me, that's perfect. Because if we had another origin story, I was going to put a fucking gun in my mouth. But, you know, to me, what that says is that maybe he appears for the first time in this DC universe, in this movie. And I was actually having this talk with Chris when the news first came out, but wouldn't it be interesting if maybe up until this point, like, you know, he's almost 40 or whatever, I guess, is the general age they're going for in this movie. Maybe he's been Batman for, like, you know, 5 to 10 years or whatever. But maybe at this point, he's still, like, Gotham's sort of, like, urban boogeyman. And, like, he's only maybe been taking down, like, street thugs and, like, mafia bosses, drug pushers, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe it's him sort of coming into the limelight in a way and teaming up or fighting Superman and then eventually probably teaming up with him. Maybe that's what sort of puts him out there into the public. Like, oh, look, Batman does exist. And then maybe that could be the catalyst for, like, attracting supervillains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, maybe there is no Joker in this universe until this movie happens. And then that's where the spinoff takes place. And that's where our new Batman universe comes from. So a lot of interesting stuff lies ahead. But, for the haters, just, it's okay to have an opinion, but just, Jesus Christ, like, think about what you're saying, man.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I'm sure first of all, I'm gonna hazard a guess to say like 90% of people who are like referencing Geely have not seen Geely.
Most likely.
Yeah.
You're most likely right. And you know what was kind of funny too, or actually it was hysterical, but like props to IGN. They put up I think like the day after or a day or two after the announcement was made, they had this great article talking about the backlash and saying just how people were so like venomous and like hateful and some of the things they were saying. Like,
yeah.
Fucking there's death threats.
There's a goddamn like change.org petition.
I know. That those people just need to kill themselves.
Yeah.
Like it's okay to not be okay with this.
Yeah.
It's okay to be pissed off about it. If you hate Ben Affleck as an actor and Batman is your fucking life, your room is filled with Batman, you have a Batman tattoo, like whatever. That's okay to have that opinion, but be able to articulate it. Be able to say, I do not think that he has the range, or I do not think that he will be able to be, like, you know, buff enough, or, like, whatever you think it is, be able to say it. Don't just say, like, oh, Ben Affleck, fucking, blah, 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 and then something about minorities, and then, like, let's kill him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's just really bizarre.
Yeah.
But in that article, though, the whole point of me saying this is that they said there was a similar backlash when Heath Ledger was announced as the Joker.
There was an amazing, like, I think it was on Reddit, but there was an awesome imager of someone just did, like, a collage of just, like, all these, like, message board IRCs message and all these, like, yeah.
He's gonna be terrible, he's gonna ruin the role, blah, blah, blah.
He's, like, an insult to all Australians or something.
Yeah, oh, there is some really, like, terrible, just bitter shit said.
Yeah.
And then all those people, whether they liked the performance or not, had to eat a lot of shit.
Yep.
The Dark Knight came out.
Mm-hmm.
And even, like, in the little piece I wrote for the website, I said that I prefer Jack Nicholson's Joker over Heath Ledger's. But what that comes down to is not which one is better or worse, it's which one I prefer. And to me, the Jack Nicholson Joker is the Joker of the comics, or closer to it at least, which is the Joker that I prefer. But Heath Ledger's fucking Joker was brilliant. So the whole idea is, regardless of what you prefer or what you'd like to see, like, you have to recognize when something is, like, you know, good
mm-hmm.
or quality or whatever. And that's me with Heath all the way. And I doubted Heath Ledger at first. I was part of the people talking shit. But I'm a little bit older and wiser now. I mean, I'm on board with the Ben Affleck casting. I'm actually happy about it, personally. But, you know, I'm on record as saying I think he might be, or I think he will be, the best Batman we've had. So we'll see how that goes.
Hey, Chris, any thoughts? You haven't said anything.
Yeah, I'm just listening to him rant. You know, my take on Batman is, you know, we've seen the worst Batman already. And that's George Clooney.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he's a suave, older Bruce Wayne. He was just like, I'm George Clooney in a Batman mask.
Yep. He was just a dickhole Batman.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like, and hey, so, you dick.
And, like, what? Batman wouldn't break up. Let me say something. Batman, our worst Batman already exists. Like, when the worst example exists already, it's like it's only uphill from here. You know, like, it's,
yeah,
it might not top the previous, but it's like it can't get any worse. Like, they're not gonna hire Adam West again. Like, hey, you're gonna be the new Dark Knight, go. Like, it'll be funny, but it would be right. Like, yeah. If they were doing Dark Knight Rises and they just have, like, Adam West in it, I would watch it, but I wouldn't be like, this is great, this is a great adaptation. I'd be like, I'm blowing money and so are they.
Let me ask you guys a question. Now, we saw with Man of Steel how they're going for, I guess it's following that classic sort of, like, stereotypical, like, now it's kind of a meme in and of itself, but the whole Nolan, like, gritty, realistic approach, like, you know, Man of Steel was, I guess, grounded in reality in the sense that, like, this is what it would look like if there was a fucking alien invasion and two aliens were battling each other.
Yeah.
You know? But it certainly isn't, like, realistic. It's not like they're trying to explain, like, oh, well, Superman can just jump really high. Superman doesn't have powers. He's just, you know what I mean? Like, he's still Superman, and the powers exist, but it's just, like, I guess what's realistic is the way the world responds to it and what happens around it. Having said that, do you think that they kind of stick to the Batman Dark Knight trilogy approach, where everything has a function? Everything except, you know, Bane and the Joker, I guess, have backstories or reasons for being there. Like, do you think that they stick to that formula, or would you prefer to see them maybe go a little more comic booky with it, where I guess a good example of it would be like where Batman just like has the answer, like the Justice League Batman, where it's like he just has the answer to everything. Don't ask why. It's because he's fucking Batman. That's why.
I think they might go a little bit more toward like New 52 style Batman, just because it's like that's what DC Comics is doing right now. So like the Batman,
and that's
like
what they did with Man of Steel. It is the New 52 Superman.
Yeah. So, like, Batman slash Detective Comics Batman.
What about you, Chris? Or at least, I mean, even if you don't know what they're going to do, like, I'm not asking you to predict it, but, like, what would you rather see? Like, more of the same, or kind of, like, branch out a little bit?
I kind of want to see something new. I mean, the Nolan universe is its one own entity, and it's, like, nice to see a serious Batman that's brooding. But I want to see a Batman that we've come to kind of we desired, like, even though we didn't know what quite to label it. Like, I don't want a Batman that it has problems with, like, love. Like, no one really wants to see, like, that. I want to see some Batman that's like, I've been around the block. Like, I know my shit. I don't need to explain, like, what I've been doing for, like, certain periods of time.
Yeah.
Because, like, the movie tried to do, like, the thing with the Nolan trilogy was that, like, it explained too much. Like, we always mentioned how, like, there's certain things that, like, it's not, like, the things it didn't explain were more interesting, and the things it did explain, no one gave a shit.
Who's Bane? That's not important. What? What's so, the Joker's, like, backstory? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Like, that was kind of cool, I do admit. And then it's like, how'd you get back into, like, from that Turkish prison?
I don't know.
Whatever.
I miss you.
Yeah.
So things like that, like, I'm just saying, like, I kind of want this movie to be, like, fateful, and to do that, like, it really needs to try to break away. And so by breaking away, the first step was to hire, like, an actor we kind of did not predict. Like, we kind of, we might have laughed about it in the past, but now it's, like, it's happening. So it's like, okay, we got to let this settle. And we, again, let him put on the mask, let him work out, you know, let him, let Ben actually kind of, like, say something about it, not just kind of, like, everyone, like, has he said anything yet? Like, the world is still waiting.
I don't think he said anything officially.
Yeah, so that's the problem. So it's not like he's like, yeah, fuck you, I'm Batman!
Like, yeah. Now he's gonna, like, try to ruin it just to piss people off.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I thought it would have been hilarious if, at the Oscar Awards for Argo, was, like, he's, like, getting his award, and it just, like, and he just, like, whoops out the Batman mask and just puts it on his head, like, da-na-na-na!
It's me, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like,
here's my next role.
Yeah, it's like, oh, so people are wondering what my follow-up is. He just, like, puts it on and, like, hey, like, whoa. Or if he showed up to Comic-Con, you know? Like, I think people were more pissed was that there was no,
just happened.
Yeah, it's
not, like, announced, like, Thursday night at, like, 8 o'clock Eastern or, like, 8:30, something like that. Yeah. Like, it just, like, it literally was, like, breaking news. Like, it broke, so, and that's when it was released.
I think for, like, nerds, like, we like to take in our information, like, a little bit, like, a little leak, a little slow, and then kind of, like, revealed.
Mm-hmm.
But this was kind of dropped, like, on our doorsteps. Like, this is your problem now, world. Batman, like, is Batman. Like, what? Like,
gotta go. The baby's yours. What?
So,
if they had announced this at Comic-Con, people would not have booed. They wouldn't have. They wouldn't have booed. People at Comic-Con would have been, like, applauding. People who read about it would have had their own reactions or whatever. But, like, you know, I don't know. I kind of hope now that something else is coming at Comic-Con. Maybe the first still or a poster or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. Like, if he did it, like the way a lot of, so, like, people, like, movies announce their shit. Like, Marvel does their shit very well to ease to people into ideas of how, like, it's gonna happen, you know, like, how their movies can be set up. You know, the actor will dress up in character, they'll show, like, a teaser trailer.
Yeah.
Like, one of the directors will just blatantly say, like, oh, by the way, this is happening, and then, like, we'll bring in, like, the cast or some products. Mm-hmm. This was kind of like, Batman, like, the guy from Geely? Yeah, that guy, he's gonna be the next Batman! Like, and just...
Yeah, it seems like it was, like, an accidental tweet, or, like, an afterthought, like, oh, shit. That wasn't supposed, like, to go out.
So it's like, you guys like Jersey Girl? You guys like Julie? Well, it's that guy.
Yeah.
I think that was, like, that was probably uttered, like, somewhere at a L.A. restaurant, and a bunch of, like, people, like, heard that, and, like, wait, what? Ben Affleck's gonna be Batman, like,
right.
That's what they just, like, spread it like wildfire.
Yeah, pretty much. But I'm with you about not having a love interest, though. I'd like this to be sort of that, like, Batman Prime, you know, where it's like, we don't need to see the origin story, but we know that his parents were killed.
Yeah.
We don't need to see how he got his skills, but we know he got his skills by, like, spending however much time training with whoever he trained with. We don't know why he has the Batmobile, but he has it, and it's fucking cool. You know, like, all that sort of stuff. I would love to see that. And it sort of be that just, like, Batman in his prime, without necessarily explaining everything to death. And if there is a love interest in the movie, I hope it's nothing more than arm candy when he's out in public as Bruce Wayne, like a Silver St. Cloud type or something like that. Yep. Or even, like, hey, why not Vicky Vale? Have it be, like, Gotham's Lois Lane. Or, if you really want to go cliche, you could have him try to kind of, like, woo Lois Lane.
Mm-hmm.
While Clark has a Kryptonian hard-on for her. And then when they find out who each other really are, well, then they're had even more.
So, moving on to other... So other superhero cast news, they got totally swept under the rug because of the Ben Affleck announcements. But on the Marvel side of things, apparently Bradley Cooper is super close to be... being Rocket Raccoon for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah, like, thank God we need a big-name actor for a raccoon.
Mm-hmm.
For like the voice of a raccoon.
Yeah.
Voice, so...
I feel like he could even be somebody who just, like, sounds like Bradley Cooper at this point. People would be like, oh my god, it's Bradley Cooper! It's not like it's gonna be picture-in-picture of him, like, reading the script while the movie's happening.
Yeah, they're not gonna base the raccoon's face on Bradley Cooper.
So, oh my god.
Like they did
with the Hulk. Like,
yeah.
And Mark Ruffalo, they're like, yeah, I just, like, morph it. No offense, but, like, who gives a shit if Bradley Cooper's to be Rocky Raccoon? It's not like he's gonna walk around as a raccoon and like do any of the lines.
I think his personality kind of matches Rocky Raccoon's personality, so that'd be kind of the same.
Yeah, listen, man, I'm on board with it, but I'm like, when you have that rumor / almost news coming out in the same week that the new Batman is cast and it causes the internet to break, it's kind of like, ah. I got nothing left.
Yeah.
There's just not enough care left in the tank for me to be like, oh, I'm outraged that it's Bradley Cooper. Like, no, I like Bradley Cooper. I think his voice would be good for a shit-talking, intergalactic, ass-kicking raccoon.
Mm-hmm.
If you told me it was going to be like Mr. Chow, that would be a different story. But like Zach Galifianakis or something.
Yeah.
But...
The thing is, I don't think there's ever been a cartoon or a Rocky Raccoon in it.
Oh, Avengers vs. Mightiest Heroes had the Guardians.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
I think Ultimate Spider-Man did, too.
I think Season 2 had it, yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And I mean, Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
I didn't play it because I knew the Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 was coming out, so I was like, fuck you, like, Capcom, trying to steal my money.
Yeah, I don't know who voiced Rocket in that game, but...
It wasn't Bradley Cooper.
No. It's like Nolan North. Which, yeah, why they just get Nolan North or someone?
Just get Nolan North. Yeah. I'm totally fine with, like a voice actor.
Yeah.
Like, as I'm saying, like, there's so many
John
better
DiMaggio.
Options.
Yeah. Billy West.
Billy West. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, give those guys a chance.
Yeah.
Don't, like, hire just, like, Bradley Cooper because he's a high-profile guy. Give someone who's actually, like, versed in acting without, like,
Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. See, like, that's what I mean. Just give it to someone. It's a voice actor. Give it a voice actor. Like,
Can you imagine? People would be like, what the fuck, is that Batman?
Think with this. Imagine being, like, everyone else on the set who pretty much has put in, like, months of work to be in this movie, like, putting on costume, makeup, and Bradley Cooper just sitting in a room, air conditioning.
Like, do, like, 8 hours of makeup every day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And Bradley Cooper is in an air-conditioned, like, voice-controlled room.
Yeah,
just to, like,
on the other side of the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, getting drunk, going, ah, I'm Rocket Raccoon, that's not the line.
I am the Rocket Raccoon. Getting, like, pretty much getting paid, like, $1,000 a word.
Yeah.
Like, when you do the math for a 120-page script.
He's like, 5 pages of the script are just, I murdered you. That's what Rocket says every time he shoots someone. He's like, I murdered you! I murdered you! I murdered you!
So I'm just saying, like, can you imagine that, like, tension? He's like, oh, here comes Bradley Cooper.
It's like the premiere. Okay,
thinking's hot shit. Yeah. Well,
what are you doing here? I'm your co-star, man.
I was the voice of that raccoon that you guys didn't see.
Yeah. Like, Andy Serkis is doing the motion capture for it.
Oh my god, just get Andy Serkis. Just...
Yeah.
Golem the raccoon.
And then, other bit of Marvel casting voice, or not voice, but just casting news, that's apparently super close to getting done as well, is Elizabeth Olsen is going to possibly be Scarlet Witch for Avengers 2.
I thought that was a rumor.
I mean, I saw an update where it's like they're pretty much like very, very close to signing the deal.
I feel like she'll be like really too young, like compared to everyone else.
I forget.
It'll probably be an origin type thing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, OMG, I'm the Scarlet Witch.
Mm-hmm.
How do I hone these powers?
Yeah, hope I don't, like, freak out and kill all the mutants in this universe.
I hope Tony Stark doesn't try to bone me.
Yeah.
Hope I don't have a vision.
I don't bone my brother.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Wah, 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 wah.
I kind of want to see that
Ultimates
version.
3.
Ultimates.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oh, God, Ultimates 3 is so awful. It was like,
was it?
It was like Scarlet Witch got killed by like a magic like techno bullet that like tracked her down in like New York City specifically and killed her. And then Tony Stark had like a sex tape with like Black Widow or something. And then they had
I thought you were going to say Black Panther. I was like, go Tony.
Yeah. And they had to go to like the Savage Land. They found like Wolverine like bang Scarlet Witch's mom or something. It's just like,
nice.
It's just insanity.
And then Quicksilver killed Cyclops.
Yeah. And, like, Venom shows up for no reason. They never explain. It's just, like, the first issue is, like, Venom! And he just bursts in and, like, disappears for, like, 5 issues.
That happens a lot in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
It's like, zounds, it's Venom.
Yeah.
And he's like, hi.
Yeah.
Never to be seen again.
Yeah, so, then, I don't... They haven't said who... Because it's going to be, obviously, different character. Because Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are going to be in both Avengers 2 and Days of Future Past.
Interesting.
Really?
Yeah. But it's different universes, so it's different characters, different people playing them. I think, actually, it's weird.
That's going to really bother me, man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I think it's weird, too, because, like, they announced who Quicksilver is going to be in Days of Future Past, but they haven't said who Scarlet Witch is. I don't think they've said who Quicksilver is going to be in Avengers 2.
Well, are they going to go with the weird, you know, this is Magneto's kids somehow?
Well, I mean, in Days of Future Past, yes. But not Avengers 2.
Yeah, because it's like, what's a Magneto? I don't know.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, let's see what happens. It's usually like clusterfucks that sort themselves out. Maybe in the future there'll be like a weird movie that branches the X-Men movies to this movie or something. Like they normally do, like they're doing Days of Futures Past and the original like X-Men movies. So let's see what happens. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, I'm open-minded, but I don't know. I just feel like one is definitely going to be much better than the other. You know, and then it's just going to be really glaringly bad every time you see the other one. Yeah. But anyway, I feel like we've spoken enough about casting for these damn superhero nerd movies.
Yeah, other stuff happened during the week. So
yeah.
So yeah, so the first, a couple of trailers came out actually. So one of them is, I don't know, Paul W.S. Anderson coming back, his latest epic after like 7 Resident Evil movies. He's got, Pompeii coming out, which is,
yeesh,
with, Kit Harington, aka Jon Snow from Game of Thrones.
Mia Jovovich.
I don't think she's in it actually.
Oh, she'll be in it.
She'll be some sort of like goddess or something.
She's randomly. The volcano.
she is Pompeii.
I am Pompeii.
Yeah. But yeah, Kit Harington's apparently like some sort of like slave or something, and he's trying to like get his like love interest out of Pompeii before it explodes, and also like rescue his gladiator friend.
Man, here's the thing: we know how it ends.
So it's like Titanic.
So, but who? Okay, but Chris, let me ask you something. If they made a movie about the Berlin Wall coming down, okay, that's one thing. Because there are people who lived through it who you could be like, hey, what was it like? What happened? Oh, really? This happened? Oh, you saw it this way? Oh, okay. Wait, you saw it a different way. You know what I mean? Like, there are differing accounts of it. And everyone who witnessed it probably has a story to tell. Who the fuck do you know that was alive for Pompeii? So people are going to be like, oh my god, the casting was perfect, and the set design was brilliant, and I can't believe the costumes, how realistic they were. Motherfucker, you don't know what people wore. Like, you don't know what... No,
Pompeii
but, like...
Pompeii still exists, you know.
Dude, Pompeii still exists, but, like, none of the people from that time are alive. They're all fucking trapped under goddamn, like, carbonite or whatever they're in. You know? And it's like, oh, you don't know that these people, like, did these things? I don't know. I just kind of feel like...
Well, it's
his take on it, true, but I feel like the story that he's probably telling, he couldn't sell as an original story. So he's like, shit, I really like that idea. Oh, wait a second. Here's an idea. It's a story about this, and this guy does this to this guy, but it happens in Pompeii. And then executives are like, oh, a tragedy.
Well,
we're listening.
There's not too many movies with, like, a historic... Like, okay, Pompeii, like, I can't think the last 5 years was there a Pompeii movie. So
I don't know if
different.
There has been one.
I think there might have been, like, one.
Could
or
be.
Two. But I'm saying, like, that's kind of cool, but I feel like that's irrelevant to, like, the Gladiator story, you know? It's kind of like,
yeah.
Oh, it's a Gladiator movie. Oh, by the way, they're in Pompeii. Like, oh, that's not going to end well.
Ooh, that's exotic, yeah.
I'm saying, like, it's kind of like, what if Titanic, like, the one we know, was about, like, four penguins on an iceberg that, you know, that the Titanic crashes in?
Alternate reality. Yeah.
Alternate reality. It's just like an alternate take where it's just like, oh, it's like, you know, it's a freak of nature. It is basically like Volcano or Dante's Peak.
That's not based on a real thing. That's based on a hypothetical thing. That's like even James Cameron's Titanic. That's the sort of thing where it's like, hey, I've got this really awesome love story. Ah, we're not interested. Shit. Oh, what if it happens on the Titanic? Oh. Now we're listening.
So I think that's what Pompeii is. It's
absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I've heard a ton of like people like, oh, Titanic in like it's like ancient Roman Titanic.
Yep, that sounds about right to me.
I was gonna say it might have been just like ancient. It's Gladiator on a volcano.
Kinda.
Yeah, it's probably gonna be a mix. You know what I mean? Like a little bit of all those things.
I feel like they're like, well, we can't like. I don't think people are going to be interested in, like, just seeing people running from, like, ash. So we have to have, like, this... We need to get some sort of action sequences in here. We need to have some sort of, like, 300-style, like...
Yeah, it's basically that. It's like, oh, let's just put, like, gory scenes. Possibly, like, a weird friendship love interest.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be, like, an evil, like, mayor.
Oh,
or, like, whatever.
I think Kiefer Sutherland's going to be possibly the main villain, because he's, like...
What?
Kiefer Sutherland's in this movie, yes.
See, like, I'm just saying the cliches that would probably make people interested about
a
volcano.
He is, like, Kiefer Sutherland is, like, the evil slave. I mean, I guess he's, like, the evil, like gladiator owner or something.
Right. And he's probably like, no, please, like, you need to fight to the death for my entertainment. And then Pompeii happens, and he's like, no, like, we'll get over this. He probably either dies or they kill him. But,
he's gonna,
like, you know.
I'm gonna predict he gets, like, it's gonna be some ridiculous, like, he's, like, frozen by ash in some ridiculous pose.
Yeah. And this is probably a movie by
Jones,
too. Like, I feel like they wanted to make a Gladiator movie, but like I said, there was a hook to it. It's like, oh, but it's not just any Gladiator movie. It's a Pompeii Gladiator movie. Like, oh.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. Because, like, the trailer really doesn't show much besides, like, weird scenes.
Yeah, like,
volcano.
Ash people.
So, it's like, yeah, it's a story that we kind of know from the incident, but never first place. Like, perspectives, but, like, no one knows, like, what exactly, like, they're doing that day, you know? Like, they weren't like, oh, hey, I should write something down. Hopefully it'll be preserved. Mm-hmm. But I hope there's, like, one character that's, like, that's always, that, you know, in any disaster movie, there's always, like, one scientist or one, like, academic that goes, like, oh, we need to leave, like, soon, this mountain's gonna explode. Yes.
I was just reading the Farmer's Almanac, and they say that there's going to be a catastrophic eruption.
It's like I can't go back. So
my Zeusa meter was going off.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta think back. This is back then when, like, you know, signs. People read signs from everywhere. It's like, oh, this goat gave birth, today. Oh, it's a tragedy.
I read the intestines of the chicken.
Yeah, like, shit like that. Yeah. And I'm like, that'd be funny.
The oracle said that the volcano was gonna go off.
So, like, again, I can't wait for that part, because it's, like, their weird justification for science.
Mm-hmm. So moving on to the other trailer that came out last week, we got a teaser trailer for Monsters, Dark Continent, which is the sequel to Monsters, which was directed by Gareth Edwards, who is now taking over Godzilla. And so this one is directed by Tom Green, but not American Tom Green, British Tom Green, who created Misfits, or like helped direct a bunch of Misfits episodes, which is like their weird like teen superhero show. But yeah, so set in the same universe as the original Monsters. So there's, aliens crash, like, it's like a aliens crash landed in, like, I think the original was, like, the crash landed in Mexico, but it's, I guess apparently it's all over the globe. There's, like, like, infected zones now, and there's, like, these weird, like, squid monsters, it mutates, like, all the, like, the, creatures around the infected zones.
I mean, you're getting that. I mean, I didn't read anything about it. When you see the teaser trailer, like, you don't see...
Did you see the original, Chris?
No. I didn't know this was...
I really liked the original.
Yeah, I know. You saw it, right? Yeah, me and Joe saw it. I think it was, like, $1,000 or so. It was some ridiculous amount for budget. Like, and, like, I think the guy, like, Gareth Edwards, like, edited it on his, like, laptop.
Yeah, he basically Louis C.K.'d the whole thing.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, I've got this awesome idea for a movie. I'm going to write it. I'm going to direct it. I'm going to edit most of it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to come up with, like, this, that, and the other thing. And, yeah, I think it was, like, a $100,000 budget or something really, like, unheard of.
I think
like
it was
that.
$10,000.
Really?
Yeah. It was ridiculously low.
Wow.
But it had like, some, like, awesome, like world building, and, like, it had, like, there was, like, people in the infected zone, well, like, they basically, like, salvaged all this, like, crashed, like, satellite parts and, like, basically turned them into, like, carts. And there's, like, all these, like, signs everywhere, like, warning people to put gas masks on.
I've never seen this movie, so, like, I don't know much to say about the
trailer. It's on Netflix.
Is it on Netflix? Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
Well, because, like, without having it open, so let's see.
I've never seen this without, like, you know... Like, because when he's like, oh, here's Monsters Continental, I was like, oh, okay, like...
It's... You can definitely tell why he got Godzilla.
Yes.
Because it's a super, super fresh take on, like, the monster genre. But, so this new one, Monsters Dark Continent, actually starring another Game of Thrones person. look up the actor's name, but it's Gendry, Chris.
Gendry. Who? What did he play?
He's like one like Robert Baratheon's like the surviving bastard who's like now he's like he's being held by like
the witch. Yeah. Yeah. Like I really didn't really learn too many names from Game of Thrones. I'm weak on that.
Like actual actor names.
Actor names or yeah. Like the characters' names. Kind of like, well, I know what clan they're from, but like I don't know. And like, cause it's like, they don't say their name a lot. Like, the first episode, they say their names, but after that, it's kind of like, you! Or like, hey!
But yeah, so he's starting as, like, a soldier, and, it seems like the plot of this is gonna be, it's basically Heart of Darkness with monsters. Cause basically, it's like the squad getting sent into the Middle East, which is infected by monsters, and, like, alien invasion, and, like, weird biology going on. And they're trying to find this rogue soldier, and take him out.
Why?
Because he's rogue and he's like doing awful things, or like they're trying to stop him. He's basically
I'm saying, like
he's basically
how is he going more rogue than the aliens and monsters around him?
Yeah, I don't know. It's basically like Colonel Kurtz or whatever. Like that's sort of like what's going on. But yeah, I mean the first one was really good. And I don't know. I think I'm guessing this one might have a slightly bigger budget than the first one, so. Maybe we'll actually get a little bit more of the monsters because actually, that was one of the things, like, because the budget was so low, you only got, like, brief glimpses or, like, really small glimpses of, like, the actual monsters.
Hmm.
And they were kind of, like, they were, like, giant, like, squid sort of, like, creatures.
They were pretty badass.
Yeah.
I don't know how, like, I mean, based on the Middle East thing, I was like, so they're just, like, squid monsters, even though they're nowhere near, like, water?
Yeah, it's kind of like, did you guys ever see, like, The Future's Wild on, like, Animal Planet or whatever, where they had said, like, what's going to happen in, like, 10,000 years of evolution? It's like, basically, because like, they basically said in that show, it's like, well, there's going to be, like, giant, like, land squids walking around, and then there's, like, monkey squids walking, like, swinging the trees with them as well.
Yeah, and not a future I want to live through.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, anyways, yeah, so both of those coming out next year, so keep an eye on both of those. Moving on to other news, Fast and Furious 7 got a new cast member in the form of Tony Jaa.
Umbach.
Yes, the protector himself.
That's redonkulous.
It's going to be, like, his U.S. debut, basically, because all of his other movies have been, like, Thai productions, so this is, like, his first, like, major U.S. production.
I really hope he could speak English. I don't know if he can. Or
stop it.
His, like, I don't know if you guys have heard him talk in his movies, but he has, like, a very, I don't want to say squeaky, but it's going to, squeaky is probably the best.
Very Thai. Yes. It's very Thai. So that's what I'm saying, like, craft. Like, I would even take Ninja Assassin level, like,
Rain.
Weird Rain, like, English, because he speaks a very, like, crappy English, like, accent, but it's, like, understandable. But I'm just like, Tony Jaa speak English? It sounds like he's gonna give people hand massages, like, it's... or, like, he's gonna sell chickens out of cars, like, it's... it's third world.
Maybe they'll just let him speak Thai, and then... have someone translate for him or something.
Oh, they just meant, like, let them speak Thai and have everyone kind of, like, understand it, like they do in Ocean's 11.
Yes.
Like, he speaks Chinese and everyone's like, yeah, okay, yeah, that's wrong.
He's like one of the Rocks guys or something. His Rocks like, exactly, that's right, yep.
I got tacos, that's what we should eat, yeah. It's definitely one. Good one, Tony.
Yeah, Fast and Furious 7 is shaping up to be pretty insane.
Still can't believe there's 7 of these movies.
Yeah.
8 with Tokyo Drift, but...
No, it's 7 with Tokyo Drift, Chris.
Oh, is it? Oh, they're counting it?
It's 1, 2, Tokyo Drift, 4, 5, 6, now 7.
Well, 3 and 4 never got numbers, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, 4 is Fast and Furious, but it's basically Fast and Furious 4.
Fast 5 showed up, and I was like, okay, then Fast 6, I was like...
Like, they are super dedicated to, like, their timeline and their canon and everything, because, like, they, like, even in Fast and Furious 6, they reference things from every movie.
Well, now it's actually they got the timeline back in order of
Because 7's taking place after Tokyo Drift.
So thank God that's happened, so I don't need to think about that anymore.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, we joked about how, like, they have cars and technology that didn't exist in Tokyo Drift. Yeah. They're like, this is weird.
Because, like, apparently Tokyo Drift takes place in, like, 2020 or something. It
takes place way in the future, and it's just like, yeah, they're all at work.
Is that like a 2008, like, Honda Acura or something? So.
2008? I think it's 2006 that movie came out, so. iPhone wasn't even out yet, or just the iPhone 1 was made.
Yeah, they're using, like, brick cell phones.
Yeah, like, hold on.
This is cutting edge.
Hear about that George Bush president? Hey.
Yeah. Yeah, the additions to the cast are pretty good. Like, not the least of which is Jason Statham.
Oh, man. Surprise. He's the transporter.
Like, a Vin Diesel versus Jason Statham battle? My God.
The Rock.
Yes. Like, The Rock and Vin Diesel have to take on Jason Statham.
That'd be kind of cool. It's really... You don't see too many Jason Statham movies where he's the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
I know he was in Cellier as a bad guy.
Yeah.
That movie it's really questionable.
That's one of, like, the, like, half a dozen twists at the end of Chaos. I don't know. Have either of you guys seen Chaos?
Opted not to.
With, like, Wesley Snipes doing a British accent.
And he was a bad guy in that one?
Yeah, I mean, there's, like, that line of that movie is, like, there's, like, 50 twists that happen at the end of that movie. But yeah, one of them is he's, like, a corrupt cop or something, and then he's, like, the mastermind who orchestrated everything.
Oh, good.
But yeah, so anyway, so moving on to the last bit of news for this week. So learned that a couple of – so there's going to be, like, a flurry of, like, shows based on movies coming out in, like, next year or two. Like, FX has, like, a Fargo show coming out. We've, like – there is...
Yeah, what's up with that, by the way?
Yeah, I don't know. We haven't heard anything. One thing I learned... what did we learn? Oh, God. Who the hell would they say was going to be the bad guy of that show?
I don't know. I don't think I saw it.
I don't know. I want to say Kevin Bacon, but it wasn't Kevin Bacon. It was, like, someone else. But yeah, so anyway. So, a couple new additions. So, apparently, Sci-Fi Channel is going to be developing a pilot for a... show based on 12 Monkeys.
Hmm. Like, 12 years too late.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're capitalizing on that as it's, like, at the height of its, cultural relevance.
I don't know, did that pull well with, like, Sharknado fans or something?
Yes. There's gonna be a Sharknado in 12 Monkeys. That's what they're trying to prevent.
Like, I like the story of 12 Monkeys, the weird time travel, the weird... rules and the openness to like time paradoxes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to see that happen, but I feel like I'd rather see a movie than like a weird, even direct to TV movie than an actual TV show that's probably going to flop because people are like, what's a 12 Monkey again? And like, are they going to reboot the whole series or are they going to?
I don't know.
Like, sequel? Like, that's something that's too vague, and I'm like, that's so fucking stupid, yeah. Just announce that.
I don't know if they know.
It's gonna be like Time Cop, the show, where it's just like, they go, every week they're going back in time to stop something, or...
Well, even the organization that sends Bruce Willis back is kind of like an evil organization. So... Mm-hmm. And you don't know if he did a good job or not. Like, because if he prevented the incident, the 12 Monkeys things would have not, like, happened. And even the name 12 Monkeys, I'm not to spoil anything major, is like a red herring. Like, so it's like, why even call the show like 12 Monkeys?
Mm-hmm. Maybe just because it's in that universe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like, they can at least call it, it's in that, tell people it's in that universe. It doesn't need to say it's this like weird spiritual like relation to it. You know, it's like, oh, this is like the next day. Mm-hmm.
That'd be like making a show about birds of prey. Birds of prey.
Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean?
So, the other show that just got announced this week is NBC is going to be getting a pilot for a show based on Outbreak.
Again, at the height of its popularity.
Even older than 12 Monkeys, right?
Where's the show for Congo?
Oh my god, yes.
Where I've been waiting on that. Yes. I almost thought about buying the toys at one point in my life.
Those are some good toys. Those are awesome, yeah.
Yeah, just like...
I didn't even really love the movie that much. I was little.
Make them fight like aliens and predators.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Like Congo monkeys. They all like... It's like Scarface and like... It's like King Mumbo Jumbo or something. It was like the Congo monkeys.
Weird animals that weren't in the movie at
Bone
all.
Smasher.
Techno armor.
Yes.
I got it. Oh, with a fucking sign language translator.
Oh, yeah, Amy with like... Mm-hmm. With like her talking... like...
With Jane Goodall biography.
Yes. And not Bruce Campbell.
Ah.
And Ernie Hudson.
Yes. The Ernie Hudson action figure. And Tim Curry.
Oh my god, with this like
it should have been like the Tim Curry one should have just had like a voice chip in it.
God, I wish.
Yes, Outbreak.
I mean, I could that could easily be like every episode they have to like go stop a different outbreak or something, or it could be like a whole season of like we gotta investigate this outbreak.
I feel like we've
that's
seen,
what my money's on.
Yeah,
we've seen these kind of shows or movies. Like, there's been too many of them to like even like Outbreak. I think was the most popular at the time, like disease movie that wasn't like, oh, they become zombies or like they mutate. It just like they got sick and died.
Yeah,
like even Contagion was just, oh, it's a disease.
It was,
you know, like,
it was like bat pig flu.
Oh, it was like, it was cheating wife disease.
Basically, yes. But Keltro dooming mankind.
Yeah, she just can't get her hands off those Asians.
Yeah.
Just fucking like, they could have called it Contagion, the movie, but like,
yeah,
it's like,
Outbreak, why was it, yeah, why was it, why not like capitalize on like the more recent movie and make it like,
yeah,
Contagion?
It's probably because like, that was too expensive. Or they didn't have the rights to that.
Soderbergh!
But then Outbreak.
Damn you!
Outbreak, it's like, you know, the 14-year anniversary. Like, yeah,
Outbreak,
the rights.
Outbreak
like,
has gone to, like, public domain or something.
That was totally.
That might be it.
Yeah. Could we get, like, like Morgan Freeman and everyone to come back?
I sure hope so. He'll be in anything.
Yeah.
Swam!
And Dustin Hoffman.
He's a little harder to track down,
much,
but yeah.
Right? Like, after he, like, murdered a bunch of horses?
Yeah. Oh, boy. How could we forget about that?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I didn't even see that show on HBO. Or, like, whatever it was on. Like,
I mean, it was on for a season.
I know, but, like, what was it called again?
Luck.
I don't even think that's on HBO Go. I think they're just, like, totally distancing themselves from it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it looks like it had a good cast.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Oh, and just in case anyone's wondering, Billy Bob Thornton's going to be the main villain of Fargo, the show.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, I did read that. I did read that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember being like, what the fuck is he doing on, like, TV? But okay.
Mm-hmm.
Give it your best shot, Sling Blade.
So, any other bits of news that you guys can think of before we get into New York's Roundup?
Man, not really. My head is just still busted wide open with win.
From Batfleck.
From the Batfleck saga.
Yeah. So, so let's get into New York's Roundup for the week. Our pick of the week is The Walking Dead Season 3.
Yeah.
Fantastic, like, definitely picked up, like, whatever complaints that anyone had from season 2 where it was, like, too slow or not enough much was happening. Like, season 3.
Not enough walking, not enough dead.
Yeah, season 3 amped up pretty much everything.
I look forward to catching up.
Mm-hmm. Governor, wrecking shit. Woodbury, the prison, all sorts of stuff's going on. And I don't know, have you guys seen the limited edition box for season 3?
Wasn't it the, like, crazy, like, nail or, like, screwdriver in the head thing, or was that...
That was two.
Two.
So, season three is, so, by McFarlane Toys.
Oh, God.
It's, if you've seen season three, the governor has a, or if you read the comic, you know, he has, like, a wall of just, like, fish tanks with zombie heads in them. And so, the like, the limited edition is, like, it's like a plastic case, you can fill it with water, actually. And you can actually, and it's got zombie heads in it. You can actually have them float in the water, or you can like keep them pinned to like in one place. But it'll function as like an actual. You can fill it with the water, and actually, it would be like a crazy fish tank of zombie heads.
That McFarlane.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, actually, there is another bit of news. Todd McFarlane. Speaking of Todd McFarlane, he finally said something about Spawn sequel.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't anything monumental, but he basically said that the producers are, like, really starting to, like, demand that the script be done by the end of the year because they actually want to make the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think after seeing that Jamie Foxx was interested, now everyone's kind of like, okay, like, let's
do it.
Make this goddamn movie now that he actually, like, wants to do it. But I will say the biggest thing that I took away from it was that he said that the vibe for this movie, because he's basically doing everything. Like, he wants to direct it. I don't know if that's going to happen, but he wants to direct it. He's writing it. He wants to be, like, head consultant, blah, blah, blah. It's his baby, basically, which is fine by me. But he said that he wants it to be a psychological horror thriller more than a straight-up action movie. So I guess what that means is probably something more along the lines of, like, Jacob's Ladder or fucking, like, some kind of really fucked up, like, mindfuck sort of movie that still is very much Spawn and is just more like, I guess it'd be less about, like, shooting things with, like, MP5s and more about, like, oh my god, the horror that has become me.
Dante's Inferno. With
Spawn. Exactly. Exactly. I think that's a good way of putting it. It sounds to me like he wants it to be more of a, like, serious, dark superhero movie a la, like, The Dark Knight, rather than, like, just another, like, summer blockbuster.
Yeah.
So that's good news for fans of Spawn. At least that's good news for me. And I think if you have Jamie Foxx, or my choice, Michael J. White, again.
Yes.
As Spawn. I think that's what you get. So fingers crossed for that one.
So, back to New York Roundup. The exact opposite of Spawn. The Great Gatsby's out this week on DVD.
The asshole, too much money. The movie.
Yes. Parties, the movie.
Unlikable douche. 20s edition.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how it's going to work, not 3D.
Yeah, I don't know.
Still have that Jay-Z soundtrack, though.
I hope there's commentary.
Oh my god. Jay-Z commentary, yes. Oh my god. Yeah, when this was in theater, because I had to walk in there for my job, my weekend job. And, like, it's literally like they're turning on the radio in the 20s, and fucking Jay-Z is on the radio.
Oh, did you know Jay-Z is a god?
He's timeless. He's a Highlander.
He's been making music since. He's been the forever music man.
And they go, and then it's like they go to like the speakeasy, and it's just like Jay-Z is playing.
I think Jay-Z was used as a metaphor.
Yes.
Awful lot of Jay-Z's in this room
for the the social upheaval of the 20s.
Unless there was a. Some sort of conspiracy where there never has been just one Jay-Z, but it's a mantle passed down from one to another.
It's like that photo of, like, Nicolas Cage as a vampire.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So, also this week is Sons of Anarchy Season 5.
Woohoo.
Yeah, I know, Joey, one of us who watches that, but it's on my list. I'll get to it eventually.
You guys, man.
I gotta finish this Breaking Bad thing, and then I'll get
to it. Yeah, that was my project. You're never gonna catch up. Is this upcoming season last season?
Yeah, motherfucker. Okay. Where have you been? This is like the last 8 episodes of the series.
So they're Breaking Bad, okay.
And by the way, speaking of Breaking Bad, I almost had to fucking call an ambulance when I was watching it Sunday night because I thought I was having a full-blown goddamn panic attack. Like, I've never watched a show where my chest tightened up.
Yeah.
But, oh my god.
Super tense shit happening.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So when people, like, for years were, like, sucking the proverbial dong of Breaking Bad and I was trying my best to avoid it, like, if so many people love it, it's probably not that great, you know? Well, I'm really eating some crow this time around, and goddamn, am I glad I watched it.
The most awkward Mexican restaurant dinner ever.
Oh, you just wait. The awkwardness, the A-train starts going express pretty goddamn soon.
I'm sure it will.
Yes. But yeah, Sons of Anarchy. Apparently the season premiere for season 6 is apparently going to have fans, like, sending boxes of their own shit to Kurt Sutter, I read, because apparently he's killing off, like, a beloved character in the first episode.
Oh, jeez.
So, the spoilers are out there, but I'm doing my best to avoid them. But yeah, he's a tremendous writer too. So I'm telling you, get into it.
Mm-hmm. Is that on Netflix?
Oh, it sure is.
Okay,
it's on Netflix, it's on Amazon Instant.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing Netflix, they should probably be adding the new season as soon as, or I'm sorry, the season 5 as soon as the new season kicks into gear.
Mm-hmm. So also out this week is Pain and Gain.
Oh boy.
Which. I think it's, I'm still debating whether that or White House Down is the worst movie I've seen this year.
Shit, so it's just pain and pain.
Yeah.
Man, I might have that for Saturday, Chris, if you want to fucking have some protein
in it.
Like, I talked about it when I saw it in theaters, like, months ago. But yeah, it's a Michael Bay movie with nothing redeeming about Michael Bay in it.
Oh, no.
So what's the most redeeming thing about Michael Bay? Action.
Yeah.
What's not in Pain and Gain? Action.
Oh.
It's all just his awful characters and awful dialogue.
Yeah.
And all of it, and every single character in the movie is just a gigantic asshole that you want to see horribly, horribly murdered. So yeah, pretty awful. My review's up on the site if you want to check that out. I think you're at 2 out of 5.
Solid 2.
Yeah, solid 2. Like, The Rock, I think The Rock and Ed Harris are the only things that save that movie from being just, like, an abomination. Well, The Rock
will make anything at least a 1.
Yeah.
You know?
And, like, Ed Harris is, like,
feel like
half
that
hour
adds
of
a
it.
Point to whatever it would have been.
Yeah. And then, also on Blu-ray this week, The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Nice.
How's that, did that movie come out, like, last year?
Well, they did Winnie the Pooh, which is, a brand new story. I think this is the original one that they did. And also, this week, Elementary, the first season.
Boo.
Yeah, it's no Sherlock. Also this week, on Blu-ray, Dark Angel, a.k.a. I Come in Peace, the Dolph Lundgren Alien versus Alien classic. Have either of you guys seen this movie?
I have not. I thought you were talking about that Jessica Alba
No. No, this movie is amazing, because it's like, evil intergalactic alien drug dealer comes to Earth, starts murdering people to, like, gain their adrenaline, and, like, suck their adrenaline out. And then, apparently, because aliens use that as, like, basically space crack. Like, human adrenaline is, like, space crack. And Dolph Lundgren just, like, this, like, New York cop who gets, like, starts to, there's, like, a crazy, like, this alien shows up and, like, murders, like, a bunch of, like, mob guys. And so, like, Dolph Lundgren is called in to, like, investigate this, like, mob killing. And it's like, oh, there's aliens. Okay.
Well, that sounds like something I need to watch.
Yeah. And it's so many amazing one-liners, and, like, the alien, every time he kills somebody, he's like, I come in peace, and then, like, kills them with, like, this, like, crazy, like, basically, like, scorpion from Mortal Kombat, like, this, like, tube that she shoots out.
Damn.
I think I saw it on, I want to say maybe YouTube, I don't know. and then also another cult classic I got this week on Blu-ray. Cue the Winged Serpent.
What?
Have you guys heard of this? It's a cult classic monster movie.
I got nothing. I've not heard of it.
I believe the Angry Video Game Nerd talked about it for one of his Monster Madnesses.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically like this, like, it's basically like the ancient Mayan, like, monster or god, like Quetzalcoatl, comes and, like, invades the modern times. He's a giant, like, dragon bird.
Dragon bird.
So also this week we have Stranded, which is Christian Slater. He's leading a team of astronauts on the moon. It's like, we have, like, a moon base, and there's, like, a meteor shower that cuts them off from, like, Earth, and then, I guess, aliens start attacking, or something else happens. It kind of seems like Event Horizon a little bit, possibly. It's like, horror, like, sci-fi horror. Also have Prime Suspect, the complete collection, which is, I think, I can't remember, did they just call it Prime Suspect in, because NBC remade the show with, like, Maria Bello, like, last year or 2 years ago.
I kind of remember this.
Yeah. But yeah.
I heard it bombed epically.
Yeah, they canceled it. But yeah, this is the original one with Helen Mirren.
Hmm.
Which is, like, she's just, like, a badass police detective solving murders and stuff.
I know there's certain ones they try to redo and it fails, and then,
yeah,
like, this is one of them. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just something they tried. It's like, hey, you might be familiar with this. But no.
Yeah. And then last thing on this week is Pawn Shop Chronicles, which is an action anthology movie with a ton of people in it. It's basically all these stories kind of like spin off things, these items at a pawn shop. But it has, it's got Brendan Fraser, Elijah Wood, Vincent D'Onofrio, Matt Dillon, Norman Reedus, Thomas Jane, Lucas Haas, Paul Walker,
wow,
and a ton of other people. Yes, so it's like three stories, and they all tie into like this pawn shop.
Good. Pawn shop.
Yeah. Because those are popular right now, right?
They're the rage.
Like 2 years ago, but now it's like every channel
every
has a pawn shop.
Every network has a pawn shop show. Yeah. Hardcore pawn.
God almighty.
So, so that's it for the new releases of the week. So I want to get into our show and tell, what we watched over the last week or so. First off, before we get into it, we all watched Expendables 2.
Yay!
The extra commentary. Definitely go check that out. We have special guest Ryan with us. That movie's still as awesome as ever.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that
it's
is
a classic.
That is our, that is the, everything action in a nutshell is Expendables 2. Like, in case anyone was confused about what our mission statement is, or like what we're about, just like go watch Expendables 2 and then you will understand what our site is.
Pretty much. That's like your homework if you want to know what we're about.
Yeah. Or at least just like YouTube, like the airport scene from Expendables 2.
Yeah.
Where like it's Chuck Norris, Sylvester Stallone, Bruce Willis, Arnold Schwarzenegger just like mowing down people randomly. And then, Chris, I know you and I saw World's End, not together, but, we saw it within the last week or so. We have a roundhouse review on the site for that. And
yep.
I think we both thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yep.
I thought it was a fantastic way to close out the Cornetto trilogy, as it were.
Yeah, it was, not the degree of insanity that was Hot Fuzz, but it's like
I think,
the same category.
I think it's kind of more insane than Hot Fuzz, just because like it's like what happens like when shit gets real in World's End. It's over the top insane, especially and then when you get to like the end of World's End. It's just like, what is happening?
Yeah, I can
like,
see
like,
that.
Hot Fuzz
but
was like it was over the top, but it was like kind like over top and like just like a grounded action movie way. Like this, like World's End is like just batshit insane by the end in the best way possible.
Yeah, I don't know, I kind of like the element of it being kind of grounded, but this movie, like, once it starts, like the wheels come off, like it keeps going and it's a fun ride, you know, like
and the best part, like the best part is like as it gets more and more insane, the guys are getting more and more drunk.
Yeah, that's the thing I don't understand was, like, how well they fight. Like, it was just this...
Well,
like,
that's every Edgar Wright movie. Like, Shaun of the Dead, they have, like, that super choreographed, like, pool stick battle. Like, Hot Fuzz, they're doing, like, Michael Bay-style, like, dive, like, action roles and, like, diving and like, John Woo dives and stuff with double guns. And, like, that's kind of, like, that's why Edgar Wright was kind of, like, the perfect director for, like, Scott Pilgrim. Because that Scott Pilgrim is all about, like, super normal... like most almost boring normal, and then it turns like super insane video game fights.
Well, I mean, the resource
single,
material
where
was
every
like
single
that.
Person in the universe has like just fighting skills for no reason. And
they
never
well, no,
explain
the
it.
Comic the comic they explain it.
Do they explain it?
Yeah. Like Scott used to fight a lot, and then all the people who fight are like fighters, like
yeah.
You know, they have their thing. But again, this one is like I was kind of okay. Like, I get it. It's supposed to be a little silly, but it wasn't, like, my top favorite. Like, I gave it 4 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you gave it 5 out of 5.
Yeah. I definitely think, like, I would put this right under Man of Steel. Like, Man of Steel 1, this World's End 2 for, like, best movies of the summer. And it's, I mean, definitely my top 5, I would say, for the year so far, too.
Hmm.
And it's hard, like, it's hard to compare this to, like, Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, because they're all amazing in their own separate ways.
Right.
Like, I can't figure out, like, which of the, like, Cornetto trilogy is my favorite, because I love all of them.
Yeah, I can see that. Like I said, like, it's a great addition, but it wasn't, to me, like, it wasn't, like, I need to run out and own this on DVD.
Oh, I'm gonna probably get it, like, if they do, like, a Cornetto trilogy, like, Blu-ray set, which I'm sure they will, mm-hmm. like, yeah, buying that as soon as it comes out.
But I just like the story a lot more in Hot Fuzz.
I think Hot Fuzz is, like, closer to all of our hearts just because it's action movies.
Action movie, like, yeah. Suspense. The fact that, like, there's, like, a secret plot that happens, like, throughout. And then even the big reveal on that one's like, oh, yeah, what you thought it was, it wasn't.
Yeah.
I do like this movie, don't get me wrong. I just felt like at certain points it didn't know what it wanted to be. Which is, like, it was going to be sad, it was going to be funny, and then it's going to be, like, wacky.
Mm-hmm.
So it was constantly, like, switching roles all the time. Like, each scene was, like, sad, sad, funny, wacky. Sad, sad, funny, wacky.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's just see. I mean, again, like, great movie. Great casting.
Yeah, the main five guys are fantastic together. Like, mm-hmm. they just, like, because you have, like, the rock solid, like, duo of Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. And then the other guys just kind of, like, strengthen that even more. And they all have, like, everyone, like, all of them get at least one, like, super hilarious moment. And they all have, like, I think everyone has kind of, like, running jokes throughout the entire movie. Like, Martin, yep. like Martin Freeman as WTF. Like, he's just always constantly saying, like, WTF. And I was like, I kind of thought the joke was going to be, like, he doesn't know what that means. Or just, like, because, like, he just kept saying it randomly for no reason.
Yeah.
And I kind of love the fact that, like, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, like, switch roles, too, in this movie, where, like, Nick Frost is the straight man and Simon Pegg's the insane one.
Yeah, I mentioned that, saying, like, it's weird to watch it where it's, like, Simon Pegg is the unhinged friend that's just kind of, like, wacky and doesn't get reality. And watch, like, Nick Frost be the reasonable one that's, like,
yep.
trying to live a clean life.
I'm just going to drink water. And, like, the first time he's, like, drinking, like, he asks for water, and then Simon Pegg's like, what, you're drinking fucking rain?
Yeah, again, that was good.
Yeah, and I love, and it's like, I love all three movies in the trilogy is, like, it's the balance of, like, super, like, dry, witty British humor mixed with, like, insane over-the-top action. Like, I think one of my favorite scenes is, like, when they're, like, Simon Pegg and Patty Considine are, like, out battling, like, the two, like, robot twins and, like, the patio of the pub. And then you cut back to, like, the inside the pub, and the guys are, like, debating, like, what name they should give the robots.
Yeah, I forgot, like, one of the names was, like...
I think Nick Frost was, like, Smashy Smashy Eggman.
Yes. Then, no, Eggplant.
Yeah, Smashy Smashy Eggman. And then they're, like, No-Bots at one point, and, like, Faux-Bots.
Because they're different about the word robot.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's a robot, but...
And they're having, you know what the robot means? Then at, like, one point they're having, like, a debate about, like, what pronouns mean.
Yeah. It's like, how did I know pronouns? Just something I do. You just use one.
Yeah. And another thing, like, another great thing, like, if you've seen, like, everything Edgar Wright's done, like, at least, like, with, like, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost in it, like, you'll get, like, this is, like, kind of, like, the culmination of all of it. Like, every single supporting character in this movie is, like, from space, basically. Like, all, like, the pub, like, a bunch of, like, the pub owners and, like, a bunch of, like, the residents of, like, Newton Haven are, like, space regulars. And there's also some, like, awesome cameos as well, like Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, yeah, it's, like, he always has, like, a Bond, like, person show up, and it wasn't, like, what's his name?
Timothy Dalton.
Timmy Dalton, like,
Timmy Dalton was the main villain of Hot Fuzz. Like, Pierce Brosnan just shows up, like, randomly.
Yeah, just shows up, like, hello.
Yeah. I'm your guidance counselor.
So, again, it's like, I don't want to spoil it too much, no. Even though the trailer kind of spoils the right parts at the right moments. But yeah. I would have loved it if the trailer didn't show the robot part at all.
Yeah, if it was just like that, like five friends going to drink beer, guys.
Yeah, and then like drama and trouble. Ah, yeah. And then like when you see the movie, it's like what?
Like I said in my review, even if the movie was just that, like it was just them going back to their hometown, like drinking and like running into old people from like their like childhood days and like hashing out stuff, it would still be, I think, a hilarious, awesome movie.
Right, I mean, like it could have diverged into just a plain non-alien invasion movie. It still would have been funny.
Yeah, just like a British, witty British comedy.
Hangover.
Yeah. Yeah, or yeah, Hangover style a little bit. But then add in the insane robot sci-fi invasion aspects and just like puts it over the top.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, like it didn't quite know where to go. Because like the thing about Hot Fuzz I loved was that like without the whole secret society part, the movie, it's still funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then, boom, the society part's like, oh, now everything's making sense.
Like, super cop dealing with, like, goose on the loose and stuff.
Yeah. And then this part was just drunk people, and then, oh, by the way, robots. Like, oh. Like, and it tries to do that, but the robot part gets shoved in your face, and that's all we can think about for the rest of the movie.
Well, I mean, they don't get to it till, like, at least, I would say, like, 45 minutes, an hour into the movie. You don't see any robots.
You're so aware. I don't know, maybe because like I was so aware of it in the trailer.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing would be like go into this movie and not know anything about it.
Yeah, if you completely didn't just saw like the first like
which
second,
I guess you can't do now because we just said it. But
right, I know, but at least that's the same. I can justify it by saying like if they either like didn't show it in the trailer or if you like. If you understood it's a robot movie, but, like, you can see where it diverges from, like, witty drama comedy to, like, oh, sci-fi element comes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, man. But, yeah, when you realize it's the robots are, like, when you first realize they're robots, like, that fight scene in the bathroom was so good. When they're, like, all busting out just, like, 90s wrestling moves, like, Nick Frost, like, people elbows one of the robots, and, like, Santag, like, does a rock bottom to one of them. Like, it's... All the fight scenes, even though they're, like, ridiculous, they're all, like, super well done. Like, awesome. Like, I don't know who they actually got for, like all these extras to be, like, the robots, but, like, they're doing some, like, insane, like, fight choreography with the... Because trying to pull off, like, their, like, robot moves. And, like, their, like, fluid robotness.
The thing I don't like is that, like, they sped up the fight, so it looks really blurry, and it's, like, comically fast mm-hmm. at certain points.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, it was like Batman Begins, where it's, like, all you could see was, like, punches, but, like, all I saw was the motion. Like, the bathroom fight's one thing, because it's, like, oh, it's only a 5-on-5 fight. But everything else after that, it's, like, this crazy, like, what's going on? Like, it's going a little too fast.
Oh, and one more thing I want to mention, but... the effect of like when the robots like had like their lights on was like it's super simple but it's like super creepy. Like it kind of reminded me of, did you guys see Attack the Block?
I saw like the first like 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, did you get to like the part where the creatures are? Did you actually get to see one of the creatures?
Yeah, like they start dripping like green.
Yeah,
or blue. Was it blue?
Like, it reminded me a little bit of that, because, like, I guess they did that sort of, like, it was kind of, like, in camera, but also, like, actually, like, practical. They just had, like, lights on, like, a dude in, like, a monster suit.
Well, that's what I like it, too. It wasn't heavily CGI, but some parts are kind of cool.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, obviously they can't do that.
And I think, we won't spoil the ending, but I think we both like the ending, even though it's, like, just completely out of left field, like, not expecting it at all, what happens at the end.
Well, I was going to say... It reminds me of Cabin in the Woods, where it's like, oh, so you think you know the structure? Think again.
Yeah, I mean...
But that happens way too late.
Like the ending, you'll have... Even if you've seen the trailers, you have no idea what happens in the ending of this movie. So, I would say, if you love the other two movies in the trilogy, like, just go out and see World's End, because it's pretty much exactly what you're expecting it to be. So, Chris, what else have you been watching? Is that Evil Dead?
Me and Joe ran through a bunch of movies, okay. Which I guess to save some time, me and him will start combining our review of it. Joe, what do you want to start off with first?
Doesn't really matter to me.
Go ahead. Okay. I guess I'll start with Three Ninjas, since that one, like, sits with me better.
The classic Three Ninjas? The
classic Three Ninjas. A story about three little kids who spend one summer vacation with their grandfather, and then...
Inexplicably Chinese grandfather.
Yeah, inexplicably Chinese grandfather in a Japanese setting who teaches them, like, ninjutsu.
Yep.
And then, like... They are thrown into a situation where a Jewish ninja organization, just like Mr. Schneider, is running some sort of evil, like, arms operation.
Yeah, and wants to...
I want those kids!
And wants... Did he want... Oh, I think... Am I thinking of two where, like, someone... They wanted a sword or something?
That was two.
Yeah.
Two.
It's like the dragon sword or something.
Oh, my God. So... Basically, Schneider is trying to kidnap the kids to use his leverage to...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because he wants the grandpa to train his ninjas.
Yeah, to join his organization to retrain ninjas.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's in demand, let's face it.
Yeah. Grandpa's in demand.
And it's because Schneider knows that the agents after him, like, one of them, is, like, the father to the sons. Like, it's like, the grandfather's, like, son-in-law.
Yeah.
And it's weird, because it's like, it seemed like Schneider, to go into it, it's kind of like, it's a kid's movie, so a lot of things are unexplained, and with the things they do explain, you still have so many questions.
Yep. Why does Schneider have, like, three surfer dudes as, like, his main henchmen?
Well, that's his accountants.
Accountants.
Are they?
Yeah.
Nephew and his two friends.
So... Okay, so the kids, Rocky, Colt, and Tum Tum, mm-hmm. They have regular names, but then grandfather, like, renames them, just like, hey, these are your nicknames, and, yeah, it's weird, because it feels like none of these names are Asian for a ninja, like, all these are nicknames based on, like, stupid things, like, hey, you're
it's like,
based on Rocky, because we're in the fucking mountains,
Colt, because you run like the wind, like the cold.
Even though we don't see him run at
it's like,
all.
Are you, I thought you were... Chinese grandpa, not Native American.
And then Tum Tum because you're fat. Like, yes, what? Yes. Like, you just call a little
you
kid
too
fat.
Much candy.
And yeah, like, a lot of the points of the movie are like, the parts are like, we get, and that's honorable, is that Schneider warns the grandfather, saying, like, you gotta tell your son-in-law to back off, or I'm gonna kill him. Like, as a heads up.
Pretty much.
Like, and we're like, we kind of agree, like, oh, that's kind of like.
It's like ninja courtesy.
Yeah, but it's a courtesy warning where it's not like he's just.
Oh yeah, I'm saying it's like, hey, listen, you're a ninja, I'm a ninja. Why don't you just tell your son to back off?
Yeah, and like instead of like the grandfather warning his son-in-law, instead of actually calling the police because it's like, hey, you've got like a known arms dealer like just like visiting you, threatening you and your family, and you're not gonna do anything about it. Like, the moment he decides to do something about it is when, like, the kids already are kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back. So, like, the movie has some great arcs to it, because, like, every, like, 20 minutes is a new, like, story. First 20 minutes is the three kids trying to get their bike back from, like, the saddest excuse for bullies.
Yeah.
Like, there's just, like, this, like, roving gang of, like, punks. In, I think, like, elementary school? Like, they're only elementary school kids? But they, like, lose their neighbor's bike, and so they play basketball to get it back.
Yeah, using their ninja skills.
Even though whatever they
no
do
no fighting.
Yeah, but, like, it's like, none of this is ninja-relatable. Like, their whole, like, basketball skills weren't, like, something ninjas do. Like, not even, like, their moves were ninja-related.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay.
It was the 90s, Chris.
It was the 90s. There was, like, Michael Jordan was the shit.
For kids, man.
Yeah, like, that shit was around.
Yeah.
The middle arc is, like, a Home Alone invasion.
Yeah, I mean,
based on, like...
Three Ninjas isn't really a movie. It's just, like, other, like, parts of other movies stitched together.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like,
maybe
what's
Joe
hot?
Twin.
It's like, what's hot right now? Ninja Turtles. Home
Alone.
And something else. Yeah. It's like, basically Ninja Turtles mashed up with Home Alone.
Pretty much.
So the second part of the movie is like, the kidnapping home invasion, which is, like, it goes on forever for, like,
a yeah, it's, like, an hour of just, like, pulling pranks on, like, these...
It's a good, like, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't figure out, I was like, why won't the kids leave? Like, they just want to see what they learn from their grandfather, just, like, fuck around these, like, burglars. But, like, I looked at Joe during the scene, I was like, in any realistic setting, you throw, like, the first time you try to trick your, like, kidnappers, you're shot. Like, mm-hmm. throw some marbles, try to make the floor slippery. Like, the kidnappers can be like, I'm just going to shoot you in the foot. Like,
it's like, know. They order pizza.
Well, the pizza part was part of the ploy.
Yeah,
the
but then they like, then they, but then like the three ninjas like put X-Lax on the pizza or something, or
oh, they put X-Lax in the like Coke or whatever, yeah. Which, as Chris pointed out, basically turned it from like a soda to a fucking like milkshake, and the guys just don't notice.
Yep, it's like, just whoa, bro, it. This Coke is totally tripping me out.
Well,
man.
The genius part is that they threw homemade pepper bombs, which, by the way, this whole scene is just like a Taliban training video. Yeah. I'm sure, like, it's probably what they show. Those dudes in, like, Afghanistan, just like, all right, we are going to make three ninja bombs.
Greatest American movie of all time.
Yeah, it's classic. It must work. So, pretty much, he's just throwing, like, a fucking cayenne pepper grenade in this dude's eye.
Yeah.
And then they just go for, like, the first drink they could find, which happens to be an X-Lax-ridden fountain soda. Which, by the way, who orders a fountain soda for delivery? Like, come on.
Movie.
It's I've not never even seen like, that before. It wasn't even, like, a 2-liter cup. It was just, like...
No, it was just, like, a large size. Soda. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, I don't have any drinks in my house. Yeah, like, it's one thing if you got, like, a 2-liter bottle or something. Yeah. This is just a goddamn, like, loose soda. It's so bizarre. I don't know. That's the sort of shit that stands out and bothers me.
Yeah. And, like, the final confrontation, like... Like a goddamn aircraft carrier or something, or like a battleship.
No, it was just a freight trailer. Like, yeah. Because it was just like, because we realized there's only four settings in this movie. Like grandpa's house. Let's go back. The warehouse dock, the forest that grandpa lives in, the school, the house, and then the dock again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, because, like, in the beginning of the movie, I didn't realize, it's like, the beginning of the movie takes place the same place as the end of the movie, because we're like, is that the same ship that's going to happen at the end of the movie?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, they filmed the first two scenes together in the same day.
Probably. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm kind of shocked that it's not, like, it wasn't, like, four brothers, so they could just, like, blatantly rip off the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
the match...
think so.
Because, it's like... Colt is like Leonardo, Rocky is like Raphael, Tum Tum's like Michelangelo, but there's no like Donatello. Because they're all kind of stupid.
Yeah, they needed like a computer nerd.
Yeah.
Oh, what came first? Let me, you know, keep talking. I gotta do some homework.
I
want to
say like Three Ninjas was like 92.
No. Three Ninjas is like 93.
No, Three Ninjas is 90. Wait, hold on. Why is this called Three Ninja Kids?
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at IMDb right now. It's
Three Ninjas is 92, and yeah. Then Surf Ninjas came out right after in 1993.
Yeah. But TMNT was 90.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Home Alone was 91, I think? No, 90. That was also 90.
Jesus.
Yeah, so obviously Three Ninjas is just like a response to the cultural movement of
ninjas.
Home Alone and
yeah.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
The
and
response
then Surf
to Home
Ninjas is, hey, people like Baywatch... And people also like Three Ninjas. Let's do Surf Ninjas.
Do you know Three Ninjas' actual names are Samuel, Jeffrey, and Michael?
Michael, yeah.
Michael Douglas.
Whoa.
That is true.
So, and right when, like, here's the thing, another thing, we try to go back to the movie, was, like, Schneider's army of ninjas is getting their ass handed to them by, like, three kids.
Yep.
And, like, I get Schneider needs retrained his whole fucking army because three kids beat the shit out of him. And it's like, yeah, I would need, like, a better teacher, like, to teach these fucking people to fight because they lose to kids. And, like, even aboard their ship, they lose. Like, the three ninjas kick so much ass on their own fucking turf. And it's like, I get these kids are invincible, sort of, when they're together and they fight shitty ninjas. But there's got to be a degree of, like, seriousness to this. Like,
mm-hmm.
3D just at least, like, brain injure, like, a bunch of people. Because we saw a bunch of, like, hits to the head with, like, wrenches. We're like, this guy's fucking retarded. Like, he's just not coming back from this hit.
Yeah, you don't come back from that.
And it's like, they do not focus on that. Like, I know it's a kid's movie, but I'm just like, oh my god. Like, now, I'm like, you can't show, like, a kid's movie where, like, a kid is, like, nunchucking some guy in the face with a wrench. Yeah. Like,
and, like, and how do they take down, like, Professor Toru Tanaka?
They, like, kick him in the dick.
Yeah. Because, like, because Grandpa's like, here are the weak spots of a person. And it's, like, dick, armpit, and, like, neck.
Neck. Solar plex. Like, yeah. Okay, I get those, but...
It may have been wiser to be like, boys, sometimes you need a shiv.
You're a ninja. You could use a knife. You could use
shank
sharp
him arms. In the ribs.
Yes.
He will go down. Cry like a little bitch.
And so, like, I remember, like, Joe's like, oh, we should make a Three Ninjas reboot where it's, like, really gritty and they're actual ninjas and not just, like, white kids took, like, a day's worth of Karate Showman. Like, karate.
Like, they were, like,
Karate Showman.
Like, it was, like, three, like, super young kids and, like, with their family in Japan, their family gets murdered and they get adopted by, like, monks who teach them martial arts.
Yeah.
Teaches them by, like, a Karate Showman's enthusiast.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger Showman says. Tiger
like an evil white businessman comes up and like destroys the monastery, so they have to, like fight him and his army of ninjas.
Again, Schneider's operation wasn't like that bad. It just he was easily fooled by like a white guy dressed as an Arab.
He was doing more harm than like the Foot Clan, who were like stealing goddamn VCRs.
Well, yeah, I mean, like,
yeah, the Foot Clan never got caught selling like.
AK-47
like missiles yeah. to fucking the FBI, which by the way, greatest to like 1990s FBI undercover work, yeah. And like, it kind of makes you wonder, like, oh, maybe that's why we didn't prevent 9/11 because like they were too busy like dressing up like sultans and like buying weapons from dudes with an army of ninjas.
Oh my god, the opening scene I totally forgot until we watched it, and Joe's like, you gotta watch this. Remember the ninjas, like, repelling and fighting the FBI? I was like, I don't remember this scene.
Oh, it's so great, because he's like, nice of you to drop in. Guys, that's your cue, drop in. And then they all start coming down there. Did he say drop in? Yes, go.
Like Miami Connection.
Yeah. It's kind of like that, except, like, these ninjas actually, like, are effective, and...
They're pretty effective in the beginning of Miami Connection.
But then, like, that's it.
Yeah, like, the one scene, and then, like, 80s synth band is able to take all of them down.
Well, given the fact that, like, they surprise a bunch of people with, like, M4s, and they all, like, escape. Mm-hmm. Like, no one, there's no, like, oh, they caught half your men, Schneider. Like, he's kind of like, okay, bye. Like, I'm gonna go work out of my office gym.
Yeah. And they made 3 sequels.
Yeah, they did. Actually, 4.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. 3 sequels to the original one, Chris.
No, there was another one.
Well, there was Kickback.
Knuckle Up,
and then there was, like, Showdown at High Noon at Mega Mountain.
And there was, like, a beach party one. 3 Ninjas, like, beach.
And I think the original 3 kids were only in the second one, and then they just, like, recast everyone.
No. They were in Knuckle Up, and then I think... Knuckle Up was like a sequel, but they hired...
Okay, Chris, it goes 3 Ninjas, then 3 Ninjas Kick Back. That's the one that they were in. And then Knuckle Up is where they changed it up. And then it was High Noon at Mega Mountain. I don't see any beach party movie, dude.
No, it was only like 3.
Yeah, it ends with High Noon at Mega Mountain.
Yeah.
Because Hulk Hogan, like, bogarted that series.
Yep.
So there's 4 altogether. So Kick Back was the second... And I'm looking at it now, and I believe it's the same kids. No, the only one who was different was Tum Tum.
Well, they changed one of them from Kickback, because, like, Rocky was way too old in Kickback, and then in Knuckle Up, they brought back, like, a younger version.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
They changed Tum Tum. I don't understand how this only has a 4.8 out of 10
on IMDb.
I don't get that. I'm gonna rate it.
Probably because it's awful.
It is not. How dare you?
It does not hold up to your childhood, like recollections of what that movie was.
No, I think it does. I mean, listen, I don't get as much enjoyment out of it. Yeah. But... Oh, I was telling Chris, I had that movie, like, fucking recorded off of old-school pay-per-view on VHS.
Yeah.
And I watched that until it, like, exploded in the VCR. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to watch that shit,
yep,
like, daily.
Yep.
It was my jam. But, sadly, nothing ever came of Rand Kingsley, who played Snyder. He only went on to be male patron in the movie The Gardener, which was 6 years later.
He's like the bad guy from, like, Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah, man, he just sort of disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Or, like...
Bizarre.
He kind of reminded me of, like, the bad guy from, like, Karate Kid 3.
the evil, Asian
like,
dude?
No, like, the evil dojo owner who, like, Martin Cove is, like, his friend who, like, hires him, like, corrupt Daniel-san.
Oh, I always thought that guy was, freaking... What's his name? Eric Roberts. Like, he had the same Eric Roberts, like, ponytail.
He's like the knockoff Eric Roberts.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. So, what else did you guys watch? Anything else?
We watched Scary Movie 5. Like, we followed up with Scary Movie 5. And, let me tell you, Scary Movie 5, just, like, should not be made. I don't know what sad, like... Studio executive was just like, yep, we should make another one.
Probably because it's super cheap to make.
Not with all the effects we saw. Like, some of this is like, they put money in like, cameo expenses to, like, hire certain people to be in this movie for, like, a minute, you know? Like, mm-hmm. It's just, like, this crazy... So, okay. Again, I didn't see Mama, but all of the jokes, like, almost all related to Mama, and...
Yep.
I didn't see Mama, so Joe, I guess Joe, you have to leave this one.
Yeah, man, I mean, it basically nailed what Mama was about, and, like, did a really great job of parodying that. It's just everything else was so stupid. Like, and I remember, maybe it was just because I was younger, but I thought the, like, first three Scary Movies were pretty fucking hysterical. I mean, again, the stuff that they... do to spoof Mama, I thought was fucking brilliant, because, like, they nailed it. They got it really, really right. But everything else just kind of fell really flat, man.
Well, is it Mama and Paranormal Activity, or is it...
It's pretty much Mama with, like, little snippets of other things throughout. Like, there is Paranormal Activity with, like, the whole camera thing going on. But there's also a lot of Black Swan in it as well.
Okay.
And then there is a lot of, or actually there's like a little nod to like Sinister with like the kid coming out of the box or whatever. Nothing really from Insidious, which was kind of surprising.
Yeah, you think they have like
Sinister came out after.
Yeah, you think they have like Google or like Gazubu or whatever his name is for Insidious.
Yeah.
And it turns out to be like
well,
I don't know, I'm trying to think of like a washed up actor would show up in like Scary Movie 5.
Well, Charlie Sheen is in it, and so is Lindsay Lohan,
yeah,
if that helps
mm-hmm.
in the beginning, which was just so not funny. Like, I don't know. I don't know, like, Charlie Sheen was obviously much better than Lindsay Lohan, but, like, I don't know. Like, I get it, because he's a Scary Movie alum and everything, but...
Yeah. I'm sure he was focusing on his role as the president in Machete Kills.
Yes, he probably was.
He's probably on Scary Movie 5 for, like, a day, and is like, I have to go to Mexico.
I think so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's just so much stupid humor in it. Like, oh, we dropped the baby, and then, like... I don't know, just so much of it wasn't really funny.
Honey Boo Boo!
Yeah, well, that's the whole, like, Sinister
yeah.
thing was, like, literally that one thing. But, like, the whole twist with Sinister would have made such a great element for this movie. You know? So, there's that. Or the whole, like, dream sequence idea from Insidious would have been great as well.
Yeah, they probably should have realized they should have stopped when, like, Anna Faris didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, when she backed out, it's probably time to stop.
Yeah.
I do love me some Anna Faris, though.
So anything else, Chris?
I did watch Silent Hill.
Yeah, Silent Hill Revelations.
The first one?
No, Silent Hill Revelations. And holy shit, like, I'm glad I was drunk when I watched that. Because, like, the movie takes place a few years, like, at least 10 years after the original, when, like, Alyssa is grown up, and... Oh, no, her name's not Alyssa, but whatever. Like, I forgot her name. And Sean Bean's telling her daughter, his daughter, like, don't go to Silent Hill, it'll be bad for you. But she goes anyway. And, like, she... Like, Kit Harrison's in it, Jon Snow. Mm-hmm. And it's, like... He's like a younger him. He has a different haircut, and it's he's totally like a skinny like.
Are he and Sean Bean together at any point?
No, actually no. Like the end, they're like hanging out together, like one scene. Like, hey, what's up?
You're my bastard.
Like all I kept thinking was like Game of Thrones references when I see him, and then when they're in the same room, it's kind of like, hey, make sure I don't die in anything. Like, yeah, this movie, I didn't even want to care to explain it, and it's like. Basically, this like girl is getting like visions from her other self in Silent Hill, and it's like if they reunite, like the order, the cult that's like, you know, following the demons from Silent Hill, believes like it would usher in a new age of like peace or doom. Doesn't really explain. Like they really glance over that fact. The fun part was I didn't realize Carrie Ann Moss stars in this movie.
Okay,
it's like she's heavily makeup. She's in like three scenes, and she plays a crazy witch woman, and
she's jumping off walls and like kicking people in the face.
No, like she like mutates into like a demon, so it's like not even like action sequences. It's kind of like, hey, what's up? Oh no, my skin and mutant fight,
and then oh no, Pyramid like, Head.
Yeah, Pyramid Head fights her, and that's it. And it's like this movie has no climax because it's like, oh man, Pyramid Head and this like. Demon woman are gonna fight, and then he wins two hits.
Is that the fight in the carousel, or is that something different? Because the trailer was all about like this, like look how awesome this carousel
that goes
fight
on.
Is. Yeah,
there's no fight on the carousel. In fact, the carousel scene like is mostly dialogue while they ride a carousel.
Well, it's like a burning carousel or something.
Yeah, so it's like there's actually like this movie makes me appreciate the first movie with the eeriness, the setting, the exploration, like. The whole, like, hey, this place is evil, let me give you some dialogue why. This movie is just kind of like, you know the story already, you just want to see monsters, like.
This one, yeah, that one definitely felt like it's like more like Resident Evil movies.
But this?
Yeah, like, Revelations felt like they're trying to make like a Resident Evil movie instead of like a Silent Hill movie.
Wasn't there another Resident Evil movie with the Revelations in it too?
Probably, I don't know. Who knows, I can't keep track of any of the subtitles of Resident Evil movies.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like,
just
this movie...
Stop watching them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this movie tried to be it, and it's like, I when I first saw Silent Hill, I didn't like it, but then I saw it again, I was like, actually, I do appreciate, like, the music, the sound, the setting.
Uh-huh.
But this movie, like, it tries too hard to be, like, a horror movie, and it becomes more of a comedy, because it's like, you don't, like, oh, a monster! It's like, they don't even fight it. They just, like, look at it, and they look back, and it's like, okay, well, next room. Like, what the, like, at least, like, yell at it or, you know, do something.
It's like, hey, stay down, yeah. Silent Hill.
Like, basically, they wake up this doll monster, which is kind of cool from the Silent Hill, like, homecoming game. Mm-hmm. It's like, this big, like, thing about, like, how this monster's created. And it just appears in this movie without, like, an explanation. Just like, hey, here's this creepy monster, and then... It just chases him out of the room. That's it. What?
Woo, that was close.
Yeah, like, oh, that could have been something. We had to fight it.
Yeah. Thank God we had to fight that thing.
It's just like, what the fuck? Like, there's just funny scenes where, like, she'll, like, it'd be in the normal setting, and then she'll have a vision from Silent Hill, and it mutates her perspective of the world. So she's, like, eating lunch at a mall, and, like, the room changes, but, like, no one notices, but only she sees it.
Mm-hmm.
So she's freaking out to, like, shit that, like, it's, like, you know, someone, like, I don't know, like, serving food. And then it's, like, her version is, like, someone serving body parts. And it's just, like, and it's her, like, reacting to it, and people are just kind of like, what's wrong with you? Like, so I'm just like, oh, so it's, like, you can't, like, she's definitely not a schizo, but it'd been funny if, like, if she was all this time. I don't know. It definitely felt like they pushes out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And they just went, like, good luck. Like, they definitely knew it was, like, meant for, like, 12-year-olds who, like, had, like, a vague understanding of Silent Hill. And, like, oh, we just like your money.
Yeah, it's like, hey, are you... Did you not get invited to a Halloween party? Come see Silent Hill Revelation.
Silent Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this movie lacks so much substance to it. And there was a decent source material, but they rushed through it so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And the scares aren't scary, and, like, if I saw this movie in 3D, it's, like, two scenes are, like, it pops at you. Like, like anything comes at the screen, like, ah.
The Pyramid Head, like, throw his, like, axe or something at the screen?
No, he, like, swings it, and, like, it breaks off, like, monster limbs,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of cool, but then I'm, like, this is just, nothing's happening. Like, this scene's not important.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. So yeah, that's what I watched. And
did you watch anything else, Joe?
Yeah, I did actually. So other than those gems that Chris and I, you know, briefly discussed, I actually watched Justice League Flashpoint Paradox.
Yeah.
And I have to say I was kind of disappointed.
Oh.
Like it was hear me out, it wasn't bad. It definitely wasn't bad, but I was just expecting a little bit more from it. They did change a lot of stuff, but not enough to, like, take away from it. Like, that's not the problem I had with it. I like the fact that Grifter made an appearance in anything, because
mm-hmm.
I am a Grifter fan.
The entire, like, weird group of, like, London...
Etrigan and, like, fucking all those, like, lesser,
like,
characters.
Who's, like, the toad guy? There's, like, a frog or some sort of, like, toad or something.
Yeah, he is a gentleman, though. I'll tell you that.
Gentleman frog.
The gentle frog.
Lord Froggington.
Oh, yes. So, Lord Froggington aside, I thought that the animation was really inconsistent. I don't know if you picked up on that or not, but, like, some things looked absolutely incredible, mm-hmm. right? They looked really good. But then you'd see, like, okay, for instance, like, you'd see the animation on the Flash was, like, top-notch. But then, especially at the beginning, when you see Superman, he looks like a fucking, like, awkward teenager going through puberty. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's really bizarre just how, like, disproportionately weird he looks.
Yeah.
It
kind of, I don't know if it's the same studio or not, but it kind of felt a little bit like G.I. Joe Resolute.
I didn't see that, so I'm not sure. But, I mean, it just seems to me like there was, like, very little to no consistency
shots. Definitely some of the characters were definitely super weird. Like, Wonder Woman was like, I don't know what the hell was going on with Wonder Woman.
I don't know what was up with her, and then someone...
And Aquaman was just like...
to make Aquaman, like, Brock Lesnar. Like, I don't know what that was about.
Yeah.
Like, Otherworld Aquaman or whatever, like, you know, Earth 2. I forget exactly where they were, but whatever. Like, that alternate Aquaman was basically Brock Lesnar. Like, it was crazy. I couldn't believe it. And, yeah, just the animation kind of really, I don't know, it really took me out of it. Like, it looked really great in the trailers and everything, and it was definitely, like, really top quality looking, but there's just, I was just so glaring sometimes that I was like, God damn it. Like, what the hell? Like, I would have rather if the animation was toned down a little bit,
mm-hmm.
if that makes any sense. Just for the sake of keeping it more consistent. But, I mean, everything else about it was, you know, pretty decent. I just wound up not enjoying it as much.
Thomas Wayne.
As I thought I would. Yeah, Thomas Wayne was great. I just didn't really enjoy the voice actor. And part of the reason is because Kevin Conroy was also involved.
Yeah.
So, like, to go from him to go to What's-His-Face, I was just kind of, like, not doing it for me. Because Kevin Conroy, like, that just sounds like he has a badass Batman voice. But the other voice actor, it's like, oh, that's someone trying to sound like Batman.
Mm-hmm. But do you agree?
So, not a huge fan of that.
Do you agree with my assessment that's probably the most violent DC anime movie ever made, though?
Unquestionably.
Especially, like...
Unquestionably.
How they, like...
I mean,
assault...
the way that it ends with Thomas Wayne.
Yes! And just, like... people just getting their heads cut off by it, or, like, vaporized, or...
Or just scenes of gruesome death.
Yeah.
Blood and stuff like that.
The Flash getting, like
I thought, as edgy...
The Flash getting, like, fourth-degree burns after, like, getting struck by lightning.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of had the feeling that, like, it was gonna get as dark as it could, at the beginning, the first time you see Thomas Wayne, and he's, like, throwing yo-yo or whatever off the roof.
Yeah.
And then she gets saved, and I was like, oh, okay, so I guess that's, like, how far they were willing to take it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Seeing that, I was like, okay, I guess that's as far as they're willing to go. Like, they're gonna sort of tease it, but then that's it. But no, I mean, it picks up.
Mm-hmm. Like, they
with
pretty
the violence,
like, they
it's
pretty,
more like
they,
a fucking Punisher movie.
Yeah, like, they pretty much murder every single DC character in this movie.
Just about, man. It's like, arm a goddamn motherfucking getting, as
yeah.
Marilyn
it's
Manson
like,
would say.
Oh, here's, like, Lex Luthor and Clayface and, like, Deadshot, like, this, like, task force. And, like, oh, they're horribly murdered. That didn't last very long.
They are dispatched rather quickly.
Yeah.
And with great ease, and by Aquaman, nonetheless.
Aquaman's like B-stringer,
like A-team,
yeah, like it's like Black Manta and like these like mermen.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, maybe I would have enjoyed it more if I could have watched it instantly, but to like sort of have to get a rental.
Mm-hmm.
Like a disc-based rental off it was kind of upsetting.
Have you seen Superman Unbound yet, Joe?
I have not. No.
Okay. The one, yeah, the Brainiac.
Very good.
Yeah, that I'd say probably Superman Unbound was the best one for this, like, because they both come out this year. So I'd say Superman Unbound is probably the better of the two.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll definitely look into it. I mean, it's on my radar. Believe me.
Mm-hmm. And that one kind of kicked off, like, the, like, going even more violent direction. Because, like, the credits that,
yeah.
Like, the credits of Superman Unbound is, like, basically the birth of Brainiac, and it's, like, just absolutely horrifying.
Oh.
It's like, well, let's replace his eyes with these cyber eyes. And it's like, well, dig out his eyeballs.
Cyber eyes.
Yeah.
Cool.
And, like, let's pump full of, like, steroids and, like, inject these, like, brain enhancers into him and everything, so.
That's what I'm about.
So,
Yeah, I have not seen it, but I look forward to it.
So, anything else, Joe?
No, that's pretty much it. Just, you know, TV stuff.
Yep, TV's pretty good right now.
Freaking bad. Oh, I know.
And it's not even, like, the new season yet.
No, yeah, exactly.
So yeah, so as far as I've been watching, I watched, besides World's End, I saw a couple things on Netflix and renting. Just quick, I finally saw Valhalla Rising. Have either of you guys seen that one?
No.
Nicholas Winding Refn of Drive and Only God Forgives and Bronson. I think this is like his second. I think this came out after Bronson, before like it was like the movie between Bronson and Drive. And it's definitely like a deep cut. Like if someone wants to like get into like Nicholas Winding Refn and you don't recommend they watch Drive first. Like, I don't know, like, I don't know how anyone would watch this movie without having seen Drive or any of his other movies first and be like, understand what the hell is going on or even what is, like, how is this a movie? Because basically, it's not a movie, it's just like, it's more like an experience than a movie. Because basically, there's no plot. It's just like, Mads Mikkelsen is this one-eyed Viking slave Gladiator, who, just, the beginning of the movie, just him, like, fighting random dudes, and then he gets sold, like, he basically escapes and joins, like, these crusaders who are trying to go to the Holy Land, but they end up in possibly the New World, possibly Hell. Like, it's just, like, they go through, like, this mist, and it's like, well, we might be dead, or we might be in the New World, or I don't know what's going on.
So it's, like, Lost.
Yeah. It kind of, I mean, kind of, it kind of turns in, like, it just, like, it kind of turns in, like, Event Horizon, sort of, where it's just, like, everyone just starts seeing, like, horrific, like, just horrific shit happening, and everyone just, like, goes insane. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, we probably went to, now we're probably in hell, so. But, I mean, it looks awesome. Matt Mikkelsen's pretty awesome. He has literally no lines of dialogue in this movie. He just, like...
Wait, really?
Yeah, he does not speak at all in this movie. He just stares at people.
Isn't he, like, on the cover, too? The box?
Yeah, I mean, he's the main character, but he doesn't talk. He's like, he has this little kid that talks for him, who he might be communicating with psychically. Again, we don't know. It's very vague and very, like, mysterious about what the hell is actually happening. But also, it also has, like, the, like, Nicholas Winding Refn, like, super uber violence going on in it, too, which is kind of cool. But, yeah, it's definitely... If you've seen, like, if you've seen Drive, if you've seen Bronson, if you've seen, like, definitely those two, and you want to get into more of, like, Nicholas Winding Refn's catalog, I'll say this is probably, like, the last, like, this is, like, the for, like, super hardcore fans only, because, like, it's kind of, like, incomprehensible for, like, I would say, like, 90% of people who would watch it, like, normal movie-going people who... But it's on Netflix instant, so I don't know if anyone wants to check it out. It's on there. And also on Netflix, I saw Red Hill, which is kind of, I think it's the first and only movie from future Expendables 3 director Patrick Hughes. And it's actually, it's pretty awesome. It kind of reminds me of like a Australian Coen Brothers movie. But if you combine like Fargo and No Country for Old Men into like what, but then instead of like the Australian outback, because it's set in like the small town of Red Hill in Australia, and this city cop gets reassigned there. He gets shot on duty and like basically like transfers to the small town to like kind of escape the city. And his wife's pregnant, so like they're trying to like sort of get like a more quiet life for themselves, and then. There's, like, a lot of, like, quirky characters in town. Then it gets pretty serious because there's a breakout at a prison, and this escape super, like, hardcore murderer who, they like, the town sheriff of Red Hill put away, and he's a native of Red Hill, is apparently gunning for the town, and is gonna, like, has, like, a grudge against every single person in town. And so it's basically, like, this guy comes back, and it's basically, like, this huge, like, sort of, like, manhunt slash shootout in town. It kind of reminds me, I guess, kind of throwing, like, Last Stand in there a little bit. Because kind of, same sort of thing, like, small town, and there's, like, crazy criminals. They're, like, just heading for the small town, they have to figure out how to stop them.
So it's basically just a weird Australian remake of High Noon, was it? It was a cowboy movie about that. Like, the sheriff is waiting for, like, a town of a gang, and, like, he has to deal with them by himself.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I definitely got a lot of, like, No Country for Old Men vibes, just because, like, the main bad guy is, like, super... He's, like, super ruthless and, like, super, like, he doesn't really talk much, but he's, like, super effective and, like, has, like, no mercy for anyone. And, it kind of has, like, definitely has, like, a very, like, Western, it definitely has, like, a lot of, like, Western influences in it. It's got, like, some really super tense, like, like kind of like stalking sequences in it, where like just, like people are like hiding in like the kitchen, like the guys coming in like trying to find them. Some really awesome shootouts. I don't really see any Expendables, sort of like how this would translate to Expendables, because like it's kind of the complete opposite of like, because it's not over the top. It's not really over the top or like super like it's, like explosions and everything. Like I think it'd be kind of cool if he brought some of like the like tenseness to it, and like some of the more like maybe some like the atmosphere of it. Because like definitely be, like a nice change of pace. Of, like if there's like at least like one like super tense like scene in like Expendables 3, where like some maybe like someone's like trying to hide from someone and like barely escaping them or something. But yeah, I said it's definitely worth checking out on Netflix. It's just pretty. It's like a really awesome like action thriller from Australia. So, and then last thing I saw Killing Season from Redbox.
I'm looking forward to that.
Oh my god, oh my god, I don't even know where to start. Well, it's from Mark Steven Johnson, who directed Daredevil and Ghost Rider.
Oh, good. A winning combo.
Yeah. And it stars Robert De Niro and John Travolta. And it's... The basic setup is that Robert De Niro was part of a American, like, military unit that went into Bosnia to sort of, like, help stop, like, the Serbian invasion. And John Travolta was, like part of, like, this, like, super hardcore Serbian, like, special forces who were just, like, murdering civilians. And they got captured. And basically, Robert De Niro's unit, like, executed all of John Travolta's units. And so now he's out for revenge and basically, like, shows up at, like, Robert De Niro's, like, backwoods cabin. And is, like, hey, I'm common traveler lost in America. Let's drink and talk. And then it's like, oh no, I'm here to murder you. And it basically just turns into like these like, it, like the movie's just like basically them like one of them has like the upper hand for like 20 minutes, and the other one gets the upper hand for like 20 minutes, and then they flip off back and forth at the end. But yeah, it is insane. Like John Travolta, I don't know how you can see him doing his, like, the accent he's doing in this movie, and what he's, like, all of his acting choices, and be like, yes, that is what we're doing with. keep doing that, that is gold.
Are there any other characters in this movie? Because it just seems
kind, like Robert De Niro has, like, Milo Ventimiglia is Robert De Niro's son, and he's like, hey, Dad, you gotta come see the baptism of my son. He's like, Robert De Niro's like, I don't know, I got mountain stuff to do. And, so they show up for, like, 5 minutes. But, then, yeah, it's basically just, like, Robert De Niro and John Travolta, like, attacking each other.
Playing tag in the woods.
Yeah. And it's all just, like, pretty much every sequence is, like, oh, John Travolta has Robert De Niro tied up. Oh, Robert De Niro got his rock and smashed John Travolta in the head. Now he has the upper hand. And, like, oh, Robert De Niro's got him captured in his cabin. Oh, John Travolta escaped somehow. So yeah, it just goes back and forth for like the entire movie.
I feel like
it's trying
to be
like an old school like 80s wrestling match where just like it goes back and forth. Like the momentum of the match goes back and forth between the two.
Oh no! Here comes a ladder.
Oh, is he gonna get up? Yes, he's gonna get up. He's regaining his strength.
I just feel like that fight between De Niro and John Travolta, it's such a weird mixed-match fight.
I feel like they're trying to murder each other so they can get out of the movie. Like, whoever kills each other first gets to be out of the movie.
There probably was, like, a writer-like difference when, like, they're just, like, reading the script and, like, you gotta petition. Like, you gotta get me out of this fucking movie.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Everything about John Travolta's character is so fucking weird. It's so awful. Like, it's like... It feels like he's wearing, like, a mask, like a John Travolta mask the entire time, because he's, like, his bottom half of his mouth, like, the bottom half of his face does not move at all. Like, he's talking, but it's, like, it's just, like, his face is not real. I don't know if it's just, like, his beard that he has on, which is, like, this insane beard. Like, it's, like, I guess Serbian beard. It's, like, a chinstrap beard that he has that's, like, making his face look weird. But, it's, yeah, it's just everything about his character is insane. And I can't tell if they're trying to, like, have some sort of message about, like, the Bosnian War or something. I'm trying to be like, this is a serious movie about war and modern, like, current events.
Well, I mean, it's a movie about revenge, but, like, I guess you don't care. Because it's just, like, watching old Robert De Niro run away from, like, weird-shaped heavily plastic surgeon John Travolta.
Yeah. I'd rather watch The Hunted.
That's what I was thinking. Like, it sounds like The Hunted, except worse.
Yeah, because at least The Hunted was, like, a poor man's Fugitive, or you could pretend it's, like, a Fugitive sequel. Yeah, this Killing Season is just insanity. I don't know. I feel like if it's on Netflix, maybe it'd be like a good like drunken, like get drunk and watch the movie and make fun of it. But yeah, definitely not a great movie. And so that's pretty much it for me. So I think that's gonna do it for this week's show. Unless there's anything else you guys can think of we need to talk about. I think we covered everything possible.
I think so, too.
So, if you want more from us, you can go to www.everythingaction.com. We got all sorts of stuff up there this week. We got Joe's Ben Affleck defense article. We got World's End reviews. We got Expendables 2 commentary. Come check it out. So that's all up this week on the site, so come check that out. Facebook.com/everything.action. Twitter.com/EVAction. Everythingaction.tumblr.com. We're on iTunes. If you go to the iTunes Music Store, search for Everything Action on there. You can subscribe to us, rate us, leave us some comments, leave us some reviews. You can also get our app in the iTunes Store, and it's free for iPhone or iPod Touch. Also get us on Stitcher, Stitcher.com. Download us or stream us on there. And you can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. So for Chris and Joe, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.